welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good times. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
No!
Oh, good times. Oh, let me tell you why I don't like being driven. I realize, I don't know, I guess you can tell a lot about yourself or your personality construct or what type of person you are. Some people enjoy being driven.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
Can't stand it.
It feels to me like someone put me in the back of a town car and slowly put a pipe cleaner up my urethra. That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, then I'm doing it more often. I didn't even get that out of it.
A pipe cleaner tied in a bow.
Okay, now I'm done.
I feel like people aren't selling. I feel like the pipe cleaner industry isn't moving like it was in the 60s and 70s.
No.
Seemed like about every third friend of your dad's smoked a pipe.
My dad's smoked a pipe.
And if you went to any of your friend's house and you wanted to screw around and do some arts and crafts or something, there were some pipe cleaners. You could bend them and make little figurines or something out of them.
What happened? Cigars took over?
Cigars, cigarettes, tobacco, heroin, it all just stepped in. No one smokes that pipe anymore. But, you know, I bet we could do some sort of tea. You could get out and crunch some numbers, and we could make some sort of chart over the amount of pipe smokers there were in the country and the amount of violent crime and the economy and, you know, broken families and education and stuff like that. I feel like pipe smoking was at an all-time high in 1949, and this country was, like, saner and more literate and smarter and so on and so forth. Now it's at an all-time low, and we practically bottomed
out. You're saying you could prove that there's an inverse correlation between pipe smoking and crime.
Yes, yes, I could.
Because in 1985, everyone I knew smoked a pipe. It was made of glass.
That's
and
right.
It from the bottom.
That's
and
right.
Crime went out of control.
With a Bunsen burner.
I see.
Oh,
or
different pipe.
Talking about a crack pipe.
Never
absolutely.
A serial killer, though, that smoked a pipe.
Right. I don't think I've ever seen anyone actually smoke a pipe.
No, but crime fighters who smoked pipes.
That's right.
Nice.
Sherlock Holmes.
The good guys.
Yeah, MacArthur. So here's what happened. I was working on this commercial for the last 2 days.
Hey, what's the product?
Don't they want you to talk about
it? Come on, you told us like three times what it was yesterday. You kept announcing it over the air.
Yeah, I want it to be a surprise. So I, for the last 2 days, have been going directly from here to this set, and then at 11 o'clock at night, I have to get in the car where the driver is. Now, here's the thing. Everything that I do, they say, we'll send a car. And I always say, I'll get there myself.
You do that too?
Yes.
I'm the only one I know that does that.
I don't like it when they send a car because they send the car early and then the guy drives like cold molasses wherever you're going. Now, I don't mind that he drives like cold molasses wherever you're going, but it's the way back. Because for the last two nights, I've knocked off at 11 o'clock at night. I've gone directly from here to the set, and I got off at 11 o'clock at night, and the streets are open. And if this guy, if I got back to my house right now and dove into bed, I'd get 5.5 hours sleep. But we know that ain't going to happen because I'm in Culver City. And this guy's going, and he's doing that thing.
Are you being punished, by the way, for something that we're unaware of?
I told him I don't want the car, but they give you the car anyway. And then you do that subtle thing, and evidently nothing works on anyone anymore other than a effing canoe paddle in the back of the head. Because, you know, you hop in the car and you go, man, go like stink, brother. I got to get up at 4:30. And he goes, okay. And he you know what I mean? He slowly begins to creep. Then you find yourself, we're going down Venice Boulevard. And Venice Boulevard is one of these boulevards that is, it's literally like a 19-mile straightaway from downtown L.A. to the Pacific Ocean. Like at one point in Culver City, that is Venice I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
It is the straightest, longest highway that runs through this city.
But they trick you because there's a police sheriff's station right there.
Yes.
Curbs.
And, by the way, Culver City was the sort of ground zero, patient zero, the very beginning. Yes, I look at these arrows as AIDS. Actually, worse. It's AIDS for straight people. Well, it's affected my life negatively more than AIDS.
Straight,
I'll put it that way. I'm not going to say
drug users.
Yes.
We just don't deserve it.
Yes, we just don't deserve it. I'm like a 9-year-old that got a blood transfusion. That's more than me. I'm a kid named Timmy who lives in Indiana, and I'm a hemophiliac, and I got AIDS. No, I got arrow AIDS. I got poked in the ass with a red arrow in this horrible city. This is where it all began. I worked in Culver City, and I had to deal with these left-turn arrows, and when you're running late for a radio show, they drive you insane. I dealt with them for about 4 years, and then I started driving through them, as I urge all of you to do, but you can't do it when you're in the back of a car. Now, as a matter of fact, the first red arrow I haven't run through in years came last night, but we're going down that Venice Boulevard. And you know that thing where you have that little timer in your head where you're looking ahead at the light that's 500 yards up the thing and you're saying, okay, it's starting to blink now. Now, if this guy can put a little, and he's doing that 29 miles an hour thing and he's driving and it's just like, feels like you're not moving and you're seeing the light up ahead and you're like, and you already gave him that mandate that, man, I got to get home, man, I got to get some sleep, man, I got to get in bed, man, I left the house at 5 a.m., I got to get home. Just, and it's like, every effing driver I've ever had has been that way. And then you miss the signal. Even, here's the disgusting part, makes me want to vomit as a man. You even feel the part where you're coming up to the light and he starts sort of tapping the brake
a
little.
Green light?
Yeah, well, he can tell it's been green a little too long. And he starts, if he'd put his foot into it just a breath at that point, we'd sail right through it. But no, tap, tap. Oh, we missed it. We missed it because you were going 28 and you slowed down to 26 100 yards before the light. Never been able to get those guys to move. And then I realized, well, the real problem is chicken-ass tickets in this town. These guys make their living driving, and they just can't move. They evidently don't hand out chicken-ass tickets in New York City, for instance, and the cab drivers drive like stink. They are slower than effing molasses in the city. And then we came up to the red turn arrow. And this is the one over on Fairfax in Venice. And this is the one where it just turns red and there's not another effing car at 11:30 in the evening anywhere.
I got out. Venice.
I got on the, so I'm on Venice and Fairfax.
So
I'm
you can see probably 10 miles straight ahead.
I can see the Earth's horizon. Yeah. I can see the horizon.
Earth's approximately 50 miles.
I see it turning. See it turning, hanging. I see a ship's mast in the distance.
It's
the top
ship.
Of a tall ship. There must be something going on at the harbor. It's a tall ship, and that's it. Just bending, light green, arrow red, and there we sit. There we sit rotting, and I'm going insane now because I, for the last 2 days, have not been home. I've not been home for 2 days. It's like, go, baby, go. Now we're just sitting there, and, I got mad at him, then I got mad at the person that made me have him, then I got mad at the city. Because we have the technology, people. We know how to fix this. There's no reason that thing should ever turn red, and we can rebuild it better, stronger, faster. And again, more dangerous or less dangerous, us sitting in the middle of the street at 11:30 at night versus turning when there's, and at night it really becomes apparent because there's no headlights to be seen. I could have got out of the car, went to the middle of the street and laid down where the oncoming traffic would have been and squeezed one off with impunity because there were no cars. And the straightaway was that long.
Now this is where Mexico may have us beat, because now the what gives them the power to have us beat might be a bad thing, but at night on the highways you slow down at red lights, red arrows, red anythings. You just slow down to about 20, look both ways.
Yeah.
The problem is you do that because of bandits.
Right.
It's the law.
Yeah.
During the day,
you'll
have to stop. You'll get jacked. They will come out of the bushes and they will rob you.
Yes.
But maybe if you and I go out and start jacking some people at left turn arrows, they'll say, hey, these are bad. These two white guys keep coming out and jacking people.
Yeah. It'd be funny is when I jump into the passenger seat of the guy's car and start coming at him. He's like, I listened to the show. He didn't mean this. No!
And as I jump into the driver's seat and go, how do you scoot this seat forward?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what the answer is. All I know is we are becoming a society of world-class pussies, getting fat on a steady diet of slow down, take it easy, be safe. I'm trying to build something, and the engineer's building it like the Merrimack or the Monitor or, you know, Hitler's bunker. And I'm saying, it's just a garage. Why do we need? And I'm talking to my architect, and he's saying, you know, we're so litigious. We're such a litigious society that everything just has to be built. You know, if instead of 10 yards of concrete, we need 100 yards of concrete. Instead of caissons 5 feet deep, they have to be 25 feet deep. And, yeah, that's all costing me money. And by the way, I know we do this thing where we go, yeah, we all have to do this. We all have to do that because we're such a – who's we're? Now, I'm not – I never sue anyone.
I've never sued anyone.
I just want to drive my effing car and build my effing garage. When are we going to claim our society back? Instead of just going, hey, no, you know, we're just really litigious. And you're going, I don't understand. Why do I have to do this? And why do I have to do that? And I don't pose a threat. And I don't, yeah, I know. But we, who's we?
Can't we kill we?
And yes, can't we sign something?
And by the way, the answer is no.
I know the answer is no because I've said it many times. Although, the other thing I've done is you can take a small stand. You really can in terms of your own personal dignity. Speaking of signing things, I've had people say, sign this or we need to sign that or we have to sign this many times. And I've just said, no, you just either take my word for it or you don't. And like I've said, I have a warehouse. And when I bought it, there was a guy in it, and he sold carpeting. And he had a year and a half left on his lease. I wanted to start using my warehouse, but he legally had my warehouse for another year and a half. And I said to the guy, as a gentleman, I just said, hey, brother, whenever you're ready, I know you have a year and a half, and if it goes a year and a half, it goes a year and a half. But if you want out, you tell me. We're done. Your lease is done because I'm anxious to get into my building. And he said, we're looking for a place. So, we'll call you. And I said, fine. And 6 months later, said, we found a place. And I said, fantastic. Tell me when. I'll take over. And he said, I need you to sign some paperwork. And I said, no. And he said, why not? And I said, I told you 6 months ago. It's my building. I gave my word. I shook your hand. And I said, I'll take the building as soon as you leave. And he said, yeah, but we have a year and a half lease. And I said, yeah, I know, but I own the building.
And
I told you, you're out.
And
he said, yeah, but I'm going to need some, I'm going to need to sign this waiver that essentially states that I'm not on the hook for the next year's whatever. And I said, I'll tell you what your waiver is. I'm looking you in the eye and I'm telling you, no problemo. And he said, yeah, I need you to sign the thing. And I said, look, here's how it's going to go. I'm telling you, you can leave whenever you want to leave and you'll never have to pay any more rent. I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to come after you. I will not sign anything. Now, if that's not good enough for you, that's your prerogative. Stay here for another year and a half. I don't care. I'm not signing anything. And he left.
Now,
and I never signed anything. And I've done that a million times.
Really?
A matter of principle for you.
Yes.
You know what? This is a surprising side to you that I didn't really know existed because it was semi-useless. You could have signed it, and it would have mattered to you either. But you just took it as a matter of dignity. You know what I won't do? I'll use Best Buy, for example, but there's a bunch of them. There's Target. There's some of my favorite stores. But when you leave, you have to open your bag, give them your receipt. Some guy checks your receipt
and looks
at the goods in your bag.
Home Depot does that.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm being pre-accused of theft. So I will not open my bag.
And then what
happens? And I will not let them. They go. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Barber.
Yeah, that's most of it. I've done other things.
I won't do it. I absolutely will not let them go through my bags and check my... they're calling you a thief in advance. I have to have done something to make you think I went into Best Buy and stole something from you. By the way, everything at Best Buy is bolted to something else at Best Buy. You don't steal anything at Best Buy.
The only small stand I take is I notice a lot of stores now, when you buy something, they just routinely ask for your address and phone number, and I say, no thanks, I prefer not to give that out. And they go, why? I prefer not to give that out. We need that. No, you don't.
And then they let it go. I never get into the confrontation. I just go.
Do you know who I am?
My home number is 818-572-35-4968. Is that enough?
Is that enough for the right amount of numbers?
I gave you half my agent's number, then half my old first apartment's number, and then a quarter my old girlfriend's number.
I was like giving Jenny's number.
I was giving like 28 numbers.
You gave him 867-5309.
Yeah, I sure do.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's what all chicks do. That's where I learned it.
You guys, everybody can do this. You can start by driving through those red left turn arrows. Yeah. But then you just, here's the way it works. Like I said, also involving my warehouse again, later on when I was filming some show, they needed to film at the warehouse, a TLC show I was doing. And I needed to sign a release for them to film at my warehouse.
Right.
And I said, no, I'm not signing a release.
Relieving yourself of liability.
Or who? Yeah, I don't even know. Look, there's just one big stack of papers now, everyone. It doesn't need that paper. No sooner needs to be signed than my kid Sonny needs the corrective helmet.
Right.
You see,
right.
We were talking about before. He doesn't need one. It's just it exists. Thus, we must all do it. Before you know it, we're just blindly doing everything. I'll be putting a seatbelt on. There'll be a law that says you can't drive with stuffed animals in your car without belting them in five years.
Right. They could fly around and
yes,
find you.
That's right.
There's also the lack of threat these days that bothers me. Because the logical extension of Adam saying, hey, your promissory note is I'm looking you in the eye and shaking your hand. Your promissory note is, this is my warehouse. You know where it is. My expensive stuff is going to be in it.
Right.
You know, the threat of, I screw you, come to my warehouse with a baseball bat.
Right. Well, now
you
that...
You screw me, I come to your house with a blowtorch.
That guy's going to get sued if he comes to my place with a baseball bat or a blowtorch now, and that's the other problem.
But nobody's going to get sued because nobody's supposed to do it. You're just not supposed to sue without a major injury caused by either malice or neglect.
Here's how life ends up working in reality with almost all of this crap. Now about 90% of life. You got to sign the release so we can film at your warehouse. Well, I'm not signing a release. Why? Because it's my warehouse, and I told you you could film at it. I'm not going to sue myself. We can't film without the release. Don't do it then. I don't care. Adam, come on. Seriously, this is not the time. It is the time. I'm not signing it. You know, well, then we won't be able to film at the warehouse. Okay. Then don't do it. Can we come on Tuesday and set up? Yeah. All right, pussies. That's how 90% of the crap works. That's how I need the release. I can't do it. They'll tell you it's impossible to do. Can't be done. Won't be done. You see when you tell the person, all right, fine. Don't do it. They'll just start doing it anyway. That's how you know it's not important. That's how you know it's unnecessary. And again, it's how you know these left turn arrows are unnecessary. I've driven through 5,000 of them and I've never gotten to an accident. So how effing necessary are they?
Well, I signed a release so I can actually drive through them with impunity.
Speaking of the release, when's the jacking begin, Bonaducci? I'm ready to get on that crusade.
I'm ready to go, man.
All right,
feeling very excited.
We need to take ourselves a break. But speaking of vigil anti-justice, our own Bonaducci ran into an intruder the other night.
I did run into him, except on purpose.
We'll take ourselves a break. A harrowing story about an intruder prying his way into the Duch man's palace two nights ago. We'll do that next.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now the man who won't be giving us any Christmas bonuses, Program Director Jack Silver.
Open the soup cooler and make with the funny peeps! Today, from Snatch and the Transporter, Jason Statham! Let me tell you something about bald guys. They're not funny and not interesting! The Def Rat Guy previews the USC-UCLA game! A TV update with the Soup's Joel McHale! This Week in Rage! And we'll talk to Adam's former partner, Dr. Drew! Hey, Doc, when you get a second, do these bumps look contagious to you? How about this rash? Or these scabs? What about this oozing abscess lesion? You know what? I'll just make an appointment. Wait!
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I was bitten by my own snake today.
Huh?
I put the Velcro on the back of my cell phone.
Right. To stick it to your pants?
I put it on the back of my cell phone because everything is designed like a bar of soap, and everything is made of like lacquered titanium, and it goes sliding out of your hand and it busts and so on and so forth. I put Velcro on it. It doesn't fly out of my sweatpants when I throw it in the old sweatpants.
They should have zippers.
Been doing. Thank you, Danny.
You're
I've been doing this commercial, and they told me to bring an extra pair of shoes, and I'm running around, and I threw my cell phone in my tennis shoes. And then yesterday morning, after I'd slept for 3 hours, and I was running late for this job, I woke up and I said, where's my cell phone? And then I thought, oh, I think I put it in one of my shoes or something when I was carrying it back up into the house. And then I picked up both my tennis shoes and I tilted them. And then I shook them a little.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, it's not in the shoes. And I threw the shoes down and then I tore the house apart. And then I said, F it. It's too late. I have to leave. And then I left. And then I went to the commercial again yesterday. And then I got home at 11:30 last night, and I said, F it, I'm going to bed. And then I got up this morning, and I said, where is my cell phone? And then I said, maybe it's in my shoe. And I shook my shoe again. I said, no, I already checked that. It's not my shoe. And then I tore the house apart, and then I said, I'm running late. Where is my effing cell phone? And then I said, I'll call my cell phone.
Right.
Maybe it'll ring,
yeah.
Even though I don't get reception in my house. And I called my cell phone. And my shoes started ringing. And I said, am I get smart?
Yeah.
And I went and said, why is my shoe ringing? And then I dug my cell phone, which had clung to the tongue of the shoe because the Velcro had grabbed the stuff that the tongue was made out of on it. And I said, Ace Man, bitten by your own snake. Your own good idea had come
too
back.
Too good.
Had come back to get you.
Have we started to refuse to be hung by our own petard?
I was foisted by that.
By the way, I appreciate your old school cell phone there. You don't have one of these fancy things like Danny has.
I had one,
standard?
But they took it back.
Oh.
No, I have this fancy one is years old and was given to me by that same company and not taken back at a different radio station where they let you keep stuff.
Well, speaking of Danny. Danny had himself a harrowing story that happened what night?
I guess night before last,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Night before last. It wouldn't have been last night, night before.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell because it's like 3 a.m. or something, right? You know, call it the night before,
that's,
the morning.
Yeah, because right. I had to come into work kind of still shaken. So.
It'll be Thursday morning around 3 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. Good
yeah.
Company.
I know. Oh, yeah. There you go. All right, so what happened?
All right, so... the first thing I want to make clear, and this has very little to do with the story, but the guy that built the building, Jonathan, takes care of everything. So I just don't want anybody to think this builder who takes his building very seriously has done a poor job on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanted to know that in case he's listening. Anyway, I'm having a lot of work done on the roof. I had a pretty big paycheck come in out of nowhere, and I spent it on my roof because I bought a whole building, a condominium building. You open the front door, all four stories up to the roof, and I bought the friggin' roof. 803 square feet of roof. Mm-hmm. And I put, or I'm in the middle of putting, a deck, a floating deck, which I knew Adam would understand what that means. It's a grid 12 inches off the ground of squares that you have to get through to walk from one side to the other. Okay?
Well, you can't pierce the membrane on a flat roof. It'll leak. So you build a deck on top. The deck sort of has to float on there. It has to sit on there, not be screwed down or nailed down. You'll put holes in the roof.
Right. So, that'll come into play in a moment. It also comes with a very fancy alarm system, this particular condominium. So fancy, I really don't know how to use it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't use it. I don't turn it on. As a matter of fact, I tried to turn it completely off because it announces every move you make.
Mm-hmm.
If you open the front door, it says, front door, open, fault one. And then you close it and it's quiet. You open the sliding glass door, you hear... living room, sliding glass door, open, fault 6. So you know not only that something's open, you know exactly what is open and where it is.
I went over and it said, stop blaming your parents. Fault yours.
A deep joke,
yeah,
out of my
arm. Really
dug
in. Nice. Thank you.
So the whole sentence takes, no matter what the longest sentence is, opening is maybe 2 seconds. This thing speaks. I wake up, I guess, night before last, to Amy shaking me, saying there's someone in the house, and I still hear fault seven. So whatever is happening in live time. Mm-hmm. This is happening this second. Okay? The door is telling me where he is. He's coming in through the roof door mm-hmm. right now, because I'm hearing it.
They have the staircase that goes up to the roof deck.
Right.
And the door at the
top.
I
have a 10-foot hallway that comes straight out of my bedroom. Then you turn a hard left and go 10 steps up to the door, and you'd be out on my roof.
Right.
So I realize this is happening right now, and if I move right now, and I really must tell you, I was surprised how fast I thought, and almost all my thoughts were accurate. They're really the right thing to do. When my children are not in my house, I keep a loaded gun in a drawer right next to my bed. And I've worked out plans with that I won't bother you down and slow down the storm with that because, I had to teach Amy not to shoot me because 75% of the time you shoot a gun in your house, you kill your husband, your wife, or your kids.
How do you teach her not to shoot you?
To teach her to shoot something else.
I don't know what it feels like.
No, I teach her to shoot something else.
How do you do that?
There's a giant stuffed chair up against the wall in our bedroom that leads nowhere. It couldn't possibly hit anybody. Mm-hmm. I say, if you're sure you've got to fire, first thing, 911 in the bathroom. Cell phone, locked door, 911. Gun, cell phone, locked door, 911.
That's good.
But you see a shadow and you're sure you're going to shoot something, shoot. Just not the something because it's probably me.
Right.
You shoot this giant stuffed chair and my gun's so loud. It's only a 38, but it's got like, I went to the snub-nosed Dick Tracy 38s. The barrel is about as long as the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so loud and I want this burglar to know, hey, not only are these guys here, they're armed, they have a gun, and they really pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not mess with this particular family. So right. We practice at a firing range, and then we practice actually in the move, we didn't pull the trigger, but we practice shooting this chair right next to the bed. Because uh-huh. I want this bastard to know we're pulling the trigger.
But, yeah, you shoot at a firing range, you don't shoot in the...
No, we shot at the firing range and practiced shooting the chair with an empty gun.
Right.
All right, so... I hear fault seven while being awakened hearing there's someone in the house. Fault seven's the roof door. I know where this guy is. If this is really happening, I know exactly where he is if I don't wait a split second. If I move right now, I know where he is.
Right.
If I wait 3 seconds, he can come down those stairs, around the thing, and now he could be a floor below me.
Right.
And the idea of crawling through my own home with a gun, looking for a guy who could be in a closet scares me to death. That idea just terrifies me.
Sure.
Because I did it in the big house with a golf club, and it was so scary. So I grab the gun, start naked, and I hurl at my bedroom door. And this is what was weird. It was all weird. But Amy yells, put something on. And I casually, once I see he's not in the hallway, I turn back to Amy and I yell, hey, if I shoot this mother effer, he's not going to care that I didn't get dressed for the event. And I yell it like that because I want this guy to think I'm not scared and that I'll really shoot him.
Right.
That I'm thinking. I got my wits about me.
Yeah.
And so I'm at my door and he's not there. He is not in that corner. So if my thing is right, he's going to be right up here to my left. Now, one of the reasons I am brave, and I think Adam and all guys will back me up on this that have had to do this, I don't think he's there. I think the wind blew something. I've looked through houses because wives and girlfriends have said there's someone in the house 50 times, and there's never been anyone in the house.
Yeah, you're not really expecting to find anybody.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got a gun, and I'm positive there's no one there. So I get to the corner, and I turn and I look up, and there he is, at the top of my stair, at the door that the machine is telling me he's there.
Do you see the guy?
I look right at him.
What does he look like?
He is halfway in the door. From the waist up, looking in, wondering if that thing saying he was in, because no alarm went off. It just says what door opened and where and fault.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of looking around to see if that woke anybody up, what's going to happen. So he's kind of cash looking in my door so I can see half his body, his whole mm-hmm. face, and his baseball cap.
Sort of an Alan Dershowitz meets Rabbi Shmuley.
Something like that.
Okay, or the Mexican construction guys.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
He was of the Hispanic.
He was Latino.
Danny, I don't know why that. That has no bearing.
You asked what he looked like.
Do you know what? I don't understand why.
Didn't ask for his ethnicity.
That's right.
We want to know what he looked like.
Yeah, what his soul looked like.
So this Jew is at my front door, at my roof door, and I turn, and I don't expect to see him. So I point the gun at him and start screaming, I'll blow your brains out, you mother... And I'm every horrible, tough guy thing I can think to say. And he runs away. Mm-hmm. But I've got this floating deck being built, which is nothing but a grid 12 inches off the ground.
Right.
So it's an obstacle course.
Sure.
He's running for 45 seconds. I can hear this.
Right, yeah.
He's trying to get off this roof.
It's dark, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I just mean there's no lights on up there.
No, there's no... No, it had to be... And there's a hot tub that isn't connected to anything yet, just sitting in the middle of my roof. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an obstacle course. So right. I'm hearing him. He won't go away. He's on the other side of the door.
Right.
And the door is ajar. He let it go. He didn't close it.
Right.
So it didn't close all the way.
No deadbolt on that door.
No. There will be later.
Yeah.
So I, but it's a steel door too. You know,
it is.
I felt pretty comfortable about it, but I'm putting a deadbolt in it right away.
Yeah.
So the door is just kind of sitting there, not latched. Uh-huh. And I realize I have to climb the 10 stairs. I can still hear the guy. I'm stark naked. I've got a gun in my hand, and he's on the other side of the door still. I can hear
and
him.
And are you concerned that he might think you have a small penis? Because of the photos and stuff.
Actually, I was afraid he would be a small.
He gets back to his apartment. He's like, hey, man, Bonaducci's got a snub nose. I know. What kind of gun? Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, at that point, I was fairly confident he thought I had a pair of huge balls.
Now, a young guy, an old guy, did he seem to be tweaking?
No, he didn't seem to be tweaking. He seemed perfectly, for the second I saw him, he seemed like he was in control until he saw me.
Uh-huh.
Like he had... He was pretty calm. I'd be a nervous wreck breaking into someone's house, especially when a voice had just said, roof door 1, open, fault 7.
Now, what do you think his plan was? Because at 3 a.m., he had to know someone was home, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And you thought he was going to head on in and burgle the house?
Well, in my last house, I have Dukes. You want to go rob my wife and kids? You have at it, buddy. You just go. You just go ahead. Just go anywhere near that house. And when you're done being eaten,
this is one of these German shepherds that costs like $25,000 and is trained to kill.
Yeah. Actually, he was going for more than that, but I happened to read this guy's ad on the radio, and he called me, and I got him. Shaq was supposed to get him. I have Shaquille O'Neal's dog.
Uh-huh.
Had him imported
not
from Germany.
The wow, geez, little theme working this morning.
So
anyway, needs to get laid.
I'm
yeah. So those dogs. When you read those rich guy magazines, every once in a while, you'll be at a some nice lounge somewhere, and you'll pick up the Robb Report. And you'll be looking
That's
at
him.
All the expensive cars, and you see that picture of the super rich white 9-year-old girl with the blonde long hair,
and
she's
Bo Derek.
Leaning on the dog next to Bo Derek in front of a palace.
That's the one.
And you go, yeah.
That's yeah. the one. That is actually the
right.
guy. And that particular ad, interesting that you said that was in the Robb Report, and it wasn't even an ad. It was from them congratulating him on being their longest-running advertiser.
Right.
So I figure, this guy's the deal. By the way, the place called California Canine, if you want to know.
And you don't have one of those dogs at your new place.
No. I'm not going to leave my family in this gigantic house that I didn't like anyway. That's too big.
Right.
I didn't like that house.
All right.
So they've got Dukes. There's and an alarm system that they know how to use. They're safe. I've got a gun and an alarm system I can't figure out.
Right.
So he's on the other side of the door still. I can hear him, and the door's not closed. So I go upstairs, and I kick the door closed while screaming, you mother... I'll blow your brains out right now, you dirty son of a... And I'm just the filthiest words I can use and the scariest I can use, and I kick the door closed, and then I think, well, is it locked?
Mm-hmm.
Was the door unlocked to begin with? Did somebody unlock it during the day? Is that door open?
Mm-hmm.
So I realize I have to open the door again. And
right.
he's out there. I can hear him.
It just has a handle lock, like
yeah,
a doorknob lock.
Yeah, it has that little doorknob lock. That's it.
Yes. Let me tell you something. Three types of doorknobs, T.
Yeah.
You got your passage. That's just the ones in the hallway. No
okay.
lock. You have your privacy. That's the ones in the bathroom. You can lock them.
From the inside.
Yeah. Passage, privacy, and third, dummy knobs. Just one-sided for like a closet. Just to pull a closet
right.
open.
Okay.
He has the privacy lock, which just
on
means it's a doorknob
door.
That has just a little thumb push in it or whatever to lock it, but you can't really tell sometimes if it's locked
right.
unless you reach your hand around and do it.
That's It's like you were there because that's what I had to do. I had to reopen the door to reach my hand around to twist the knob to make sure it was locked. Because when I slammed it shut, I twisted that little thing. I don't have the push button. It's a twist one.
Right.
It twists 45 degrees, I would think, or 90 degrees, right?
Yeah, 90. Yeah.
So I turn it 90 degrees and I realize, well, what if the door was not left unlocked and it was just left ajar? Have I just unlocked this door?
Right.
So I can hear the guy on the outside of my door still, and I've got to open it. So I start screaming death threats again, open the door, jiggle the handle, it's locked, slam it shut. And then I think, well, wait, my front door, if you unlock it and go outside, you are still locked. You have to jiggle the front door once you unlock it.
I must say that there should be a corner reserved in hell for the guy who made that doorknob that you lock and then you step out of and then you shut the door behind you and it's still locked. I don't know how many dressing rooms you guys have ever been locked out of at a studio. It used to drive me insane. Loveline, Man Show, whatever. I never locked my dressing room ever, but I'd walk in and out of it and I'd shut the door and inevitably twice a week I'd come back and it was locked out and whoever had the keys was on a bicycle and he was riding around the lot somewhere and someone had to get on a walkie-talkie and it's like, I never locked the door in the first place, but secondly, shouldn't it unlock when you open it from the inside and then walk out? How many people have been locked out? You know, the bathroom, somebody comes to your house, uses the bathroom, they lock the door, and then they come out and they shut it and it locks behind them. What is that? Yeah. What's the strategy with that? Are they all broken?
You have to unlock my door and then twist the handle inside the house,
right,
and that unlocks the handle outside. So I realize I haven't done that. So maybe that door still unlocks. So now it's time number three. I'm going to open the door, and I can still hear this guy rustling around the obstacle course that is my roof. Have you ever seen that boot camp kind of thing? That's what my whole deck looks like. It's things you got to crawl under and climb over, and he can't get off my roof fast enough. So I open the door for the third time, and I'm just screaming like a madman because I'm starting to get really scared. What if he's changed his mind, and I can hear him up on this roof for so long because he went, hey, screw that guy. He's naked, had a tiny little penis, tiny little gun. Look at Perez.
BT to the punch.
I'm going back. Mm-hmm. So I'm really scared. So I'm screaming some more and I check and the door's locked and I close it and I'm good. And then I go down the stairs and I do finally the right thing, which is not punch all these codes they gave me. Mm-hmm. They gave me keychains. Oh, it's in my car. You hit stay. And that means you can do whatever you want. You just can't open a door or a window.
You get your little beeper on your keychain.
Right. Or you can hit away, which means if anything moves in your house, a pet. Like if you have a cat, you have to set it above the height of your cat.
Right.
It's a motion detector. If you have a dog or a child, well, I guess you wouldn't leave a child. But if you have a pet, you have to set the motion detector.
Couldn't a burglar just crawl?
Not if you set it so you have no pets, no. And they could, but what could they steal in that position?
Well, if you said even if you had pets, where they're not going to crawl.
Yeah. You're with the motion detector, you're good. Because I have a lat bar that I pull down. It just hangs by a metal cord, and you pull weights with it. And it, like a breeze came from the air conditioner and moved it like 2 inches. Oh, and the guy goes, oh, you'll have to take that down if you hit away. It'll recognize that.
Any movement off. On
any
the motion detector.
At all will go off. So now I just walk in the door, and I hit stay. And we're in the house, and if I want to go smoke a cigarette on my balcony, I hit off. So it's easy to do. So I come back downstairs. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Amy's out of her friggin' mind. I mean, and so am I, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm naked with a gun. I put the gun away. I figure we're safe. We figured out to go get the keychains off the door, but we went together holding hands like spazzes. I've got a gun and a girl. Mm-hmm. And we're going down because none of us want to be alone to go get the keychains. You wait here, I'll get the keychains. No, no, no. Okay, you come with me. We'll both go get the keychains. Do you want to hold the gun? No, you hold the gun. Okay. So we creep downstairs. We get the keychains. We point it right at the alarm system like we're tards. You can do this from anywhere in the house.
I know.
Point it right at the little box that talks to us.
When I turn up my car stereo, if I need to hear a news report, I put my ear closer to the in-dash stereo. The speakers are in the back of the car. Hold on. Hold on. I lean in. The newsman's talking. I want to catch this. Hold on. Hold on. I'm actually moving my head further from the speakers, which are in the back of the car.
So we've got the most technological thing in the whole world, and I'm putting the beeper like up against it. And I hit stay, and it lights up, and now my house is armed, and so am I, and we are good. And we're sitting there, we're calming down, and about a half an hour later, around 3:30 in the morning, Amy just starts laughing almost uncontrollably. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, she's had a breakdown, because I was really scared, really scared. And I don't usually get that scared, and I was terrified. And she's really, and I'm worried about her. And I said, what is so GD funny right now? And she goes, your threats got a little humorous. I said, what? She goes, somewhere you ran out of curse words that made sense in any kind of order. Yeah. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you ran out of the room, and he said, if I shoot this mother effer, he won't care that I didn't get dressed for the occasion. Pretty good one, Dan. And then I saw the guy, and I said, I'll blow your brains out, mother effer. Pretty good one. But then as I had to open up the door three times and start yelling, apparently I called him a filthy sea nose.
Yeah.
I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house!
I heard a chick who got into it with a guy.
Yeah.
I heard a woman yell, suck my D.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that.
I've done
again.
That.
You've done that on a chick?
I think I might have yelled that to a
guy. I might have done that.
In the heat of battle.
It's satisfying to say.
There's a lot of ambiguity in terms of your gender.
Right.
You know what I mean? Although guys never say, suck my tea.
No, that's true. And
that
women
would be
don't.
Weird.
Women don't.
You
want to
send
say.
Fear into the heart of an opponent, though. You'll suck my tea.
But I apparently was yelling things at the end. Like, I'm going to shoot you in the face, wiener nose.
I am this close to rape making it!
Amy said they were the lamest threats in the world. I'd have come back.
Yeah.
He said if I was the burglar, I go, are you joking? I'm on the roof with a mad killer, an axe murderer, naked with a gun, and you don't like my death threats? She goes, no, your death threats were nice. It was your anatomy course that didn't go that well for you. He didn't have a D-nose. You weren't going to shoot him in his... that part of his body was not connected to that part of his face. Because if you go, mother effer, makes sense, bad thing.
Right.
But wiener face apparently is not scary.
No, I mean, it's rude.
I don't want to insult him. I want to shoot him and scare him off. Well, I told him I was going to shoot him in his filthy wiener face and his filthy D-nose.
Well, this would have been a good description for the cops.
Yeah,
he had a wiener
nose.
You
know, sketch artist and a D face.
Was his nose circumcised, sir?
I really couldn't tell because it could have been wearing one of those wool caps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to match. Flaccid nose.
How did he wear a scrotum, sir? Part in the middle or off to one side? Did he have a comb over scrotum?
Have you ever come into your house? Have you ever had an intruder?
Let's see. When I was a kid, we had somebody break in. It always cracks me up now. They go like, they broke into our house when I was a kid. Let me tell you what my mom owns, or did own. She owned a wicker chair that sat in the backyard rotting, and she owned a roach clip. And other than that, everything we had in the house was just junk we got from other people's curbs in front of their house.
Freak
just
out!
Effed up sofas with sheets spread all over them and flatware that was chipped from the Salvation Army. There was not so much as a watch or a piece of stereo equipment in my house. I couldn't imagine coming into my house growing up and stealing anything. If you actually stole the house, you might be able to turn a profit. Anything else, forget it.
Of real value would be my gym. Now, if you want to come into my house and steal probably 3 or 4 tons of steel plates, you're going to be a minute. But I did put in 3 of those flat screen TVs we were talking about.
Well, those used to be worth something.
Right.
But now even those are going down.
Yeah, I went the cheapest route. I don't have high def. I don't have any. They're for my world, that kind of thing is unheard of. A flat screen TV, and I have a pretty big one in my gym, and a little one in a bedroom, and a nice big one over the fireplace. But those are the only things in my house worth any value. Nobody wears any jewelry in my house. There's no real art. I have people that have like $40,000 Persian carpets. I don't know one friend of mine that would know it from a $20 Persian carpet on La Brea.
Right. They all look like IKEA stuff to me. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I got something from CNN I want to play you when we return.
And you can tell me how brave I was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Hello, folks. My name is Henry Rollins, and you, you lucky listeners, you are listening right now to Adam Carolla.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
866-901-ADAM. I forgot Jason Statham.
How did you forget Jason?
Yeah. This guy's fastly becoming one of America's biggest action stars, and he's not even from America. He's got a new movie coming out, and I'm reading here that it's a Guy Ritchie movie, which always means it's going to be cool. We'll talk to him in a couple of few. I was watching CNN this morning, as I'm apt to do, and even through my haze, because I've not slept in 2 days, I was sitting there watching the story, that Stacey Peterson story. Now, you remember, this is the chick. I think she was in Illinois somewhere. She had the Chicago cop husband. And this guy, when you see pictures of this guy, looks like a Dan Aykroyd character from the mid-70s, early days of Saturday Night Live. He's like Irwin Mainway. He's got like the cheesy cop mustache, and he's got that salt and pepper hair, and he just looks like the guiltiest man on the planet. And he has four wives, and his last wife drowned in a bathtub with no water in it. Remember a few weeks ago I was saying, yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire, and now he has that 14-year-old wife, and she's missing, and he don't know where she is. She took off with another guy. I'm not looking for her. That bitch got out. Yeah. You figured she'd shoot a call into her mom, who was probably pretty worried when she was all over the news as missing for the last month. But now she hasn't picked up the phone. Well, now they're looking for a body in a blue barrel. And they spoke. Now, she spoke to her priest sometime before she was allegedly murdered. And she said to the priest, this guy confessed to me that he killed his last wife.
Wow.
And I'm worried for my life. He's threatening me. And here's what the priest did. The priest did not call the cops. Here's how it worked.
You gotta set it up for another 10 seconds. I just edited it to make it better. So hold on. I'll get the clip.
Now, isn't the priest compelled to report a homicide? Like a therapist would be?
Here's what the priest is compelled to do, and it may be discussed in this story depending on how much we edit it out.
I'm a Catholic and was raised Catholic. I don't know that much, but I think I might know. What do you believe that the priest is compelled to do?
I'll tell you. The priest is compelled to say if somebody's a danger to themselves, like I'm going to kill myself.
Right.
And they're compelled to say to tell the cops or the authorities if you say you're going to kill somebody else.
Right.
But if you said, I killed somebody 10 years ago, they don't have to say anything. It's kind of like an attorney. On the other hand, if you said, hey, the guy I'm married to killed the last person he was married to, and now I think he's got me in his crosshairs, that, to me, is some imminent danger. But we'll hear the story, Bald Brian.
There are cases, there are instances where they do have to alert police. What are those?
Absolutely. If it's child abuse or absolutely if someone is going to do harm to themselves or someone else. So let's say you go to your priest and you say, I am going to kill my wife or I am going to kill my child. That clergy member has to go to the police and report it. But in this case, what we're hearing is what she said, I think, is I'm afraid of my husband. My husband told me that he had already killed someone, that he has committed a crime. That's very, very different. And I think that the clergy member in this case made the right call.
Definitely.
Legally speaking and investigatively speaking, how does this affect what police are going to do now in terms of the disappearance of Stacey?
Well, I don't think it's going to change very much, actually. I think that it goes to motive. It gives them, it doesn't give them any more leads, but it does give them the right to perhaps start speaking more to her family members, perhaps speaking to parishioners. But I think, again, that the clergy member made the right call here.
A great call, an excellent call, not just the right call. Hey, bitch, you want to say it a third time? There's a chick in a barrel who begs to differ.
Well, and by the way, begged, no longer differs.
That priest, woo, he's got himself a rabbit's foot up his tuchus. I'm going to take this guy to Vegas with me. He's making a bunch of great calls. And this is why I couldn't be a news anchor, because the second time she said, in this case, he made the right call, I'd say, hey, baby, you want to say it a third time? Maybe you can find another body.
Well, apparently this guy, Drew Peterson's stepbrother, confided that he helped to dispose of the body in the container.
I just like the idea that she kept reiterating, this was the right call. Yes, the next thing he'll call is the Lord's mercy over her coffin when he presides over the funeral.
Although, I don't like the way this is going, because I've been to confession, and you say three Hail Marys and three Our Fathers, and you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that all of a sudden they're putting caps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I squeezed Tracy's boob, Father, and I got to second base, and I shouldn't have. Well, that's three Hail Marys and four Our Fathers, and you're all good. Now all of a sudden you shoot a guy, and I get to tell on you. You used to go and be able to tell the priest anything, and he was compelled never, ever, ever to tell anyone.
Well, but if you said, I think I'm going to molest my stepdaughter, they may have
come
squealed
over.
Back in the
day. You know
what
was a good call?
I'll bring a bundt cake.
Yeah.
It was a good call when they had Richard Allen Davis. They pulled him over, and then they let him go.
Yes.
And he killed Polly Klass.
Yeah.
And when they that 14-year-old Vietnamese boy was running down the street naked, and they gave him back to Dahmer. Remember that?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great call.
Good call.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, so anyway, priest made a wonderful call here and not intervening in the guy who killed his last wife and was thinking about killing the one that was confessing. It's not the priest that I have a problem with. It's the CNN reporter, the legal analyst, who has to keep reiterating. She says it twice. In this case, he made the right call. Johnny on the spot. Jason Statham?
Hello,
great to speak to you.
I'm over here in New York. We're stuck in the traffic. Does it ever cease?
Oh, no. Really? You're on a cell phone. I love this. Where are you heading, Jason?
We're heading to the hotel that we were supposed to get to so we could have a nice chat on a landline, but that didn't quite happen.
Well, you're clear, so we'll try not to jinx it.
Plus, this is one of the few people that even though he's in New York, I wouldn't want to piss off.
Yes.
You know, I stood there with Sugar Ray, and I went. I tried to stand my feet as long as I could. Same with the Iceman.
Right.
Jason's one of those guys I really just wouldn't want to piss off.
He will drive his Audi 8 Series over here and kick your ass.
In 22 minutes from New York.
Revolver is the name of the movie, Jason. Tell us about it.
Well, it's the third movie I've done for Guy Ritchie. Mm-hmm. And this one's a bit more of, I'd say, more of a serious tale. Whereas his others have been quite sort of light-hearted, if you look.
But well, light. You were talking about Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Light-hearted with a definite edge to them.
But there's
a definite black comedy, I would say. But a little less serious. Not to say that this one is a completely serious movie, but there's definitely a different edge to this. It's it's got a few layers to it, and I think it's his best one yet.
Well, what's your part? When's it come out here in the States? I know it's out in England already.
It's out in a couple of weeks. Actually, next week.
That's out on next Friday, so that'll be a week from today in L.A. How's it doing in the U.K.?
They actually released it a couple of years ago in the U.K., and Guy did another version for the U.S. market, so it's a slightly tighter, a little bit more streamlined version, which I think is, a slight improvement.
Do we have shorter attention spans here in the United States?
There must be a reason for it.
I think we do.
It would be that.
By the way, short attention span is a euphemism for being dumb.
Yes.
I disagree. We make sure that something wasn't worth paying attention to, make our decision, and move along. I think it's a sign of genius.
Hold on. What did he say?
I don't know.
So, Jason, what is, by the way, are you in the UK full time? Do you spend a lot of time here in the States? Do you have a home out here?
Yeah, I've got a place out in Los Angeles, and I've sort of been out there a few years now. I obviously keep a little spot back in England, but most of my time is spent over your side of the river.
Now, I'm sure I have this information in front of me, but I'll ask you anyway. My name is Danny Bonaducci. I started my career as an actor. I am also a third-degree black belt and a huge fan of martial arts and martial arts pictures. And all of a sudden, Transporter came out, and I thought, who the hell is this guy, and where has he been to be this good, and I haven't seen him yet? Where did you start making martial arts movies, but showing your incredible, if I might say, technique in movies?
Well, I started training back in the UK. I was, you know, my dad used to box. So I had a very early tuition from him on how to sling a left and a right. And then, you know, a lot of friends that used to do kickboxing, I used to go along to that. And then I've been to judo with Guy Ritchie. And, actually, Guy Ritchie's a third-degree black belt in full-contact karate. So he's a bit of a man himself.
Didn't know that, but I guess...
He dragged me down to his dojo many, many times. And over the last few years, we've got ourselves stuck into the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is also
I just started doing that.
Being dragged to Guy Ritchie's dojo sounds like going to Davy Jones' locker. It's like you'll be dragged to Guy Ritchie's dojo, or my name isn't.
You know, one of my favorite parts of Transporter was when he's fighting these, I think, at least two guys, maybe three. And it's believable. When you see these other guys, it's just not believable. The three of them would overwhelm the one character. But with Jason, you can see he's winning and could actually win this fight. It looks like real life and that he could win this fight. And all of a sudden, he's fighting these three guys, and he hits one, and they're far enough away, like 5 feet each, and he just goes, "Wait!" And they all freeze. And calmly takes off his jacket, folds it, puts it over his card, and goes, "I just had that pressed. All right." And the fight goes back on.
Forget about the fighting.
Bitching,
what
man.
About the driving? He took his Audi.
Yeah.
It had a bomb underneath it. He hits a bunch of pallets that are piled up on the pier. Car does a corkscrew, rips the bomb off the bottom of the car. I've only seen the movie 128 times, Jason. And it explodes on the gantry crane as he spins all the way around and drives to safety. Were you really driving that car, Jason?
I'm asking legitimate questions, you bastard.
Are we doing a Transporter 3, by the way?
It's funny you should ask. We're just getting that together now. We're going to shoot it next year, yeah.
That's cool. Oh, and you want to know the you want to know when you've really arrived. Not when you've done Transporter 3, but when some other actor is doing Transporter 29.
Right.
When you're in your 90s and you're sitting home and you're saying he's a puss and you could still do the role.
Still take him.
That means you've arrived. Well, so you got back together with Guy Ritchie on this little one. It is out a week from today, yes? Out here in the States.
Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong.
I got December 7th here. Pearl Harbor Day.
That's the way you remember it.
No
right
better
there.
Place to or time to open
Guy
a movie.
Does Japanese martial arts. It opens December 7th. Put those two together in your head, and you'll never forget that Revolver opens December 7th.
Hey, Jason Statham, come see us when you're here in the States, or at least in Southern California. I'd like to shake your hand again.
I'd love to come in, and I'll certainly do that soon. I'm coming back. I'll be there for a couple of months, and I'll try and stick my head in.
Please.
If you could, because currently Sugar Ray Leonard holds the record of knocking me off my feet in 9 seconds, and I'd like to see if you could beat that.
I'll bring me big gloves.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'll bring the folding chair. Jason Statham, salt of the earth. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. T, what's coming up in the news?
We're going to talk about a couple of big games last night, football and basketball, and also a 300-pound prostitute almost sent a guy to Guy Ritchie's dojo.
Wow.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Yeah, sure. If you have there's maritime disaster, you go to Davy Jones' locker. And if you get into trouble in the UK, you're heading to Guy Ritchie's dojo. I like that. Good name for TSV. Take a quick break. Back to the news next.
Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
I have bought a ticket to a train wreck.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning from USC's Delta Phi Gamma, the Duff Frat Guy.
F those hoes, bro.
E's Joel McHale will play some highlights from this week's The Soup.
Please don't puke in a jacuzzi.
We'll talk to Adam's old buddy, Dr. Drew.
We're actually talking about a very profoundly negative self-concept, and then they have to build a pseudo-self on top of that to make themselves feel better, and that pseudo-self has to be fed by an audience.
Ah, stop, my head hurts. And Jason Statham.
Rule one of any game or con, you can only get smarter by playing a smarter opponent.
The news with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci will break in.
It's Adam, Teresa, and Diesel Dan. What's up?
To every conversation. 866-901-ADAM. Live coast to coast and streaming the world at AdamCarolla.com. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Forgot about the pseudo-self that Dr. Drew was building on top of the old self. I pulled a permit to build a pseudo-self.
But your neighbor still called.
Neighbor called up, so I decided to bootleg my pseudo-self. They showed up and closed it down. Now it's, my pseudo-self is tied up in court.
I'm a nerd.
T!
Yeah.
What's going on in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
British teacher Gillian Gibbons has been sentenced in Sudan to 15 days in jail for naming a teddy bear Muhammad. She was found guilty yesterday by a court of insulting religion and inciting hatred. She will be deported after serving her 15-day sentence. She's a mother of two from Liverpool, and she defended herself by explaining that her 7-year-old pupils had picked the name. Now, as we speak, there is a lot of turmoil in Sudan. Crowds are demonstrating outside the presidential palace. They're saying the sentence was too lenient. Protesters streamed out of mosques after sermons as pickup trucks with loudspeakers blared messages against the teacher. They are chanting shame, shame on the UK. They called for Gillian Gibbons to be executed by firing squad.
Yes.
They said no tolerance, execution, kill her, kill her.
Yes. Over a teddy bear.
They have sticks.
54-year-old mother.
Let's work the whole thing. First off, she's over there trying to bring a little humanity to that sun-scorched region that God has forsaken. And by the way, you guys...
God, you don't even believe in. You believe in enough to know he's forsaken that place.
you know, whatever religion you're into, if you haven't grown a successful crop, invented anything, and you're still living on a dirt floor, it's time to take a little look-see in the religious department. Right. Perhaps your God isn't treating you quite as good as he could. I don't know. My feeling is I'd start to lose faith somewhere around a year 50 of not successfully growing a crop or having any money in my wallet or fresh or clean water to drink. Now, she went over there to try to help those kids. She asked the kids what they wanted to name the teddy bear. They named it They. Not her. They. Right. They. Not the blue-eyed devil. They named the teddy bear Muhammad, which is the most popular name in the region.
He was, in fact, not named for the prophet, but for a popular boy at the school named Muhammad, who the kids liked.
I am sure there are 155 out of 160 of the boys at that school named Muhammad. Mm-hmm. That's how popular the name is in that region. So they named it Muhammad. I've got another name, Retarded. These are inferior people. I'm just going to go out and say it. They ain't as good as we are. They ain't as good as many are. They are an effed up inferior culture. And we should stop being so tolerant. If it's not Darfur, it's this. Well, when are we going to stop turning a blind eye to this thing? When is somebody going to pipe up and go, hey, they're wrong. Guess what? We're judging. You know, we talked about this when the story came up a week ago, and everyone is paralyzed because there's a culture involved and there's a religion involved, and no one wants to defend anyone's culture or anyone's religion. So they get to do nutty things, and we get to just sort of play it close to the vest and have very, very guarded, calculated statements about disagreeing with this political, yet very small faction of the Muslim, this and that and the other. Look, they're nuts. This group is nuts.
Yeah.
Most religious people are nuts, and the more into it you are, the nutter you are. Well, the Muslims seem to be a little more into it than a lot of folks. But don't get me wrong, you're all nuts. I saw a Hasidic Jew walking down the street at 5:30 this morning with the payos and the crazy beard and the crazy robe and the crazy hat, and I said, that guy's nuts. And he's raising his 8-year-old son in his nutty, retarded religion, and he's forcing his kid to wear the stupid hat. And if his kid could grow a beard, as a matter of fact, what do the Jews do? Glue beards on to their 8-year-old prepubescent sons? Either way, he's nuts. Shirley Phelps and her born-again Bible thumpers are nuts, and the Muslims are nuts. You're all nuts, and we should start recognizing that. And secondly, you're evil. the things you're doing in Darfur, the ethnic cleansing, the, you know, stoning of the teacher who's over there trying to help, I'm going to go way out on a limb, and I'm going to call that evil. And there was a time when we would recognize evil, and we would go do something about it. We judge. Remember World War II?
Yeah.
He was an evil guy, and he was trying to accomplish evil things, and we went over there and we killed him, and we killed anybody who agreed with him, and the world was a much better place because of it. Let's just start judging, would you please? This is a horrible culture, horrible region, and something needs to be done. Well, I'm tired of sinking money into that joint.
Something bad needs to be done. Everybody thinks the answer is always to do good. I think sometimes that the answer is to do bad and really, really bad. I mean, there are these, if you remember Rwanda, where everybody was hacking everybody's right hand off so they couldn't shoot a gun and decimating villages and stuff like that.
Hmm.
They had machetes. We're the United States of America. Let's show them what really bad looks like.
Right.
You know, let's stop going, hey, how about if we give you solar energy and teach you how to grow plants in hydroponic pods?
Yeah.
Why don't we just bomb, like, one whole village of everybody, men, women, and
well,
children, I don't care.
We're over a barrel because the whole continent of Africa is a mess. And we don't know what to do about it because there's this strong racial component to it, so we can't judge. All we can do is send money to that region, and all they can do is crap out more kids and then light more spare tires around people and pillage more villages. We can't do anything, but that region of the world is an absolute disaster and needs to be shaken like an Etch-a-Sketch. I don't know what the hell went wrong over there with the cradle of civilization. They got off to a good few steps, and they've been stumbling and tripping and coming up lame for ever since I was born.
Right.
Ever since I was born, it's never like, hey, everybody, good news, cure for cancer out of Africa, cure for this, bumper crops.
No.
Hey,
we get new diseases. We get Ebola.
Hey, yeah, you know who bailed out all those poor folks after the tsunami? Thank God Africa stepped up and came on with its relief. That whole area, that whole region of the world has been an absolute effing disaster.
As you say, you don't know what to do because a lot of people say it's the cradle of civilization. That's where man came from, and I'm willing to believe that. But let's say the car, which did not, but let's just say the car came from Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we all have to drive Model Ts in 2007? No. We can say, Ford, you have now lost your usefulness if you will only make the Model T and it breaks all the time, and it's an angry car on top of it. We can now put an end to you and move on to other things. I say, have you ever been to the San Diego zoo where you drive through and there's all the animals?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we make Africa.
Mm. We a lion country safari.
We herd all the animals to some safe corner and just kill everything else that moves.
Slow down, I'm riding. Yeah.
Are you with me on this? Let's just show them what real bad guys can do.
Here's what I'm down with.
Here's your machete. Here's my nuke, bitch.
Here's what I'm down with. All the billions of dollars of aid we've given you over the last 50 years have evidently done nothing. All we've done is keep folks breeding and creating more terrorists and more, I don't know what, breeders. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to invest money in your region, but it's not going to be to sustain you guys long enough to crap out another 8 kids so we can send over a drum of Plumpy Nut to keep you alive. We're going to send over some birth control, and then we'll send over a couple scientists. And by the way, when these things flare up, we're not going to be so diplomatic about it and go, you know what, we respect your culture. No, you guys are idiots. You're wrong. I'm an atheist. You're cosmically wrong here. Someone goes over there and tries to do some good. Someone names a teddy bear, and you want her drawn and quartered in the middle of your town square. Except for the problem is you don't have a town square because you don't have any buildings higher than half a story. Thank you, T. Go ahead.
This teacher and mother of two could have been sentenced to 40 lashes and 6 months in jail. She had an 8-hour trial, which was apparently very emotional. Now, a little bit about the prison where she's staying. So you can imagine the prisons are not...
Listen, the Four Seasons over there is worse than any prison we have here, so I could only imagine what the prison is like.
Well, from what I understand, it is rat-infested. It's the Omdurman prison. It's a notorious jail. It was designed for 50 women. It now houses more than 1,000 women, plus 400 children, most under the age of two.
Listen. How many? What?
Hey, they got bad two-year-olds over there. They're wearing leather jackets.
400 children in this prison, most under the age of two. Between 4 and 6 children die each month
Teresa,
from malnutrition.
I don't know where you're going.
They're not from shaping their heads. They're from their Harleys, these little two-year-old bastards.
Sounds like you're judging. You cannot judge.
These are facts.
I know, but I don't like your tone.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're judging a different culture.
The women.
You know, let me say something, everybody. There's only differences in cultures. There's no good or there's no bad. There's no up and there's no down. Sure, there's certain cultures that like to, you know, remove parts of their young daughters' vaginas and give them circumcisions, and then others that like to stone people for doing nothing, and then others that, have no laws against, you killing your wife. But again, or there's cultures that like to have 400 two-year-olds in their prisons, and prisons that were made for 50 that have 2,000, but we cannot judge. That's the important thing. It's too bad Hitler didn't play that card. Hey, man, this is a cultural thing. I'm killing Jews as part of my culture. I'm celebrating my culture by burning Jews. Now, stay out!
Don't the Jews at some point get to say, whoa, our culture's a little longer, and we'd like it defended.
No, because I was grandfathered in.
Okay.
I got my paperwork in early. Now, head to the oven, because I want to celebrate my culture. I got a 3-day weekend coming up. Yes.
At the prison, the women sleep crammed 30 to a cell.
Careful, T.
And temperatures which can reach a searing 120.
Hearing a little judgment.
These are
a little bit of judgment.
I'm getting a little older.
I don't like your tone.
I'm sorry.
There's only
trying
different.
To report the
My
facts.
Mother, who's very liberal, taught me that there's only different. No better, no worse.
Well, this prison is very different than one that would say be humane.
Right.
Clearly. And
as I've said many times, every puss who lives in this city, who's an actor, who wants to work the difference in culture, but never the better or worse, where do you think their kids go to school? South Central? They products of the L.A. Unified School District? Mm-hmm. Or they go to lily white little schools on the west side with all the little white kids that have money? That's right. They love their ethnicities, and they love the fact that the city's a half Hispanic, and they love all the different cultures, but yet they don't let their kids experience that culture very much, do they?
I'd like to add that...
No.
No, they do not.
British Muslims have branded the sentence as a farce and manifestly unjust. So
right.
British Muslims are against it. The teacher, again, from Liverpool. I think we have
Good
to take a break.
Day, sir.
They'll do nothing about it.
I think any Muslim that can say manifest itself is probably against that.
We need to take ourselves a break. We're going to take the news and lop it in half. T?
Sports and hookers.
Ah.
You got me and Adam? Well, that's amazing.
When we return.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Oh, there they are.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee is a motivator and a leader, knowing how to get the best out of the staff with strong role modeling, gentle encouragement, and positive reinforcement. This person is truly the torchbearer of Martin Luther King, Gandhi, and Winston Churchill. This week's Employee of the Week is... Once again, Adam Carolla.
Awesome.
You know, that one wasn't really a shocker that time.
I saw
that one coming.
I did too. Yeah. I've had kind of a bad week.
I
didn't think I was going to get it.
I've been under the weather a little bit. I had the... Although, apparently it was a decent show because that's all I hear about. I had the cough syrup day.
Right. That was a great day.
It was apparently a good show, but not my best effort. So I really saw the Adam Carolla win this week. Sometimes I see it as me, and I think I've been cheated. And sometimes I see it as you. But Carolla, you know, they vote around, and he wins. But this one, I saw it coming, and you deserve it, sir.
Well, one more month in the parking space. T?
Yep.
The rest of the news.
She had the sexiest voice I've ever heard.
Let's talk some sports. First, basketball, before we get to the big football game. Last night, the Boston Celtics completely destroyed the New York Knicks, beating them 104-59. Here, Knicks coach Isaiah Thomas admits their loss was embarrassing.
I thought every player came to the arena with the idea of, you know, I'm going to have a good game, as opposed to the Knicks is going to have a good game. I thought every player, every single player was thinking about himself as opposed to thinking about the team.
Are you embarrassed by this, Isaiah?
We're all embarrassed, yes.
Well, wow. It is now officially on because you had the Red Sox winning the World Series. The Patriots look unstoppable. And now the Celtics. The one thing we could count on coming out of Beantown, the one team we could always point to when our friends from Boston were getting all high and mighty on us, they look like they may be the best team in basketball now. Bill Simmons, the sports guy for ESPN, is just going to – I will not be able to be around him at Kimmel's house on Sunday. He's probably going to be blogging while we're trying to eat ribs over at Kimmel. Dear online guy. What a banner year the Pats fans have. Hey, how many F's? How many F's in fan?
Oh,
delete. First time Brady. Tom Brady. He doesn't even say the whole time anymore. He's turning into one word. My man love a Tom Brady. Tom's having himself a record setting year as the skipper of the England Patriots. And then the Sox go on to sweep the nothings for zilch in the World Series. And now, I wish Tom Brady could play for the Sox so I could salute and masturbate at the same time.
That's gotta be rough.
The Boston Celtics, the only black guys we'll accept in the Boston area, have now taken over the NBA and have returned the mantle to the once proud. I mispronounced. Hold on. Delete. And furthermore, P.S. Go Pats. Hold on. P.S. GP. Go Pats.
And now go Celtics.
Can I ask a question, though? If you can pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time,
mm-hmm.
I just tried to make the masturbatory gesture while saluting. It's really hard.
Not easy. Yeah.
See that?
Yeah,
well, you got something wrong.
Yeah.
Punch yourself right in the face.
Yeah.
See the parts of the sports stories I pay attention to?
Right. Yeah.
There's a horny American.
You said there were hookers involved.
I'm getting to the
hookers. I even looked at Adam and I said, when you said sports and hookers, and I looked at Adam and I said, wow, if there's a game where you can hit a ball with a hooker, Dad, there's finally a game we can play together.
Want to have a catch of syphilis? Now, on to football.
Big
game last night. The 10-1 Dallas Cowboys met the 10-1 Green Bay Packers for what may well end up being home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the NFC. Unfortunately for the Packers, Brent Favre had to leave the game with an elbow injury in the second quarter, and the Cowboys went on to win the game 37-27.
Would have been a pretty good game, but there was a real questionable pass interference call, which is like a 50-yard touchdown pass. I mean, they brought the ball down to like the 5-yard line, but it was a bad call. And I hate when they make bad calls in big games. It's so nice just to let the teams play. It was a bad call that really affected the outcome of the game. So Brett Favre gets hurt. The backup comes in, does a pretty good job. They get a bad call. They played at home in Dallas. They're still pretty evenly matched teams. It was a decent game.
The backup, Aaron Rodgers, seemed to do a decent job.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see the backup and how they're going to play in a big game. Favre has an NFL record run of 249 consecutive starts.
Yeah, I would like to just point out that you now officially have me interested in this guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here he talks about whether the injury he sustained in last night's game, it was not only the elbow but also a separated left shoulder, whether that will keep him from taking that record to 250 consecutive games.
I don't know. I think I'll be okay, but fortunately we got a few days off to rest and see.
Yeah, they have the rest of this week and then next week.
I love his southern accent.
They're on a nice long week. Yeah, most of that's Vicodin, but go ahead.
Well, I love that even more. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Terrell Owens discussed the game, and the cliche train does not miss many stops.
There's still room for improvement, and, you know, we knew the magnitude of the game tonight, and we just had to come out here and execute and do the things that we do best. And we just put ourselves in a position, you know, for the playoffs. So, you know, we got ourselves in the driver's seat, and we just got to stay there.
We're not looking ahead. We're just taking it one game at a time, focusing on fundamentals and execution, and we're going out there and playing Dallas Cowboy type ball.
Now, which one calls it a ball club? Is it basketball or baseball?
Baseball players. Right now, it's great to see 60-year-old guys wearing Little League uniforms going out. Right now, the ball club, you know, we're playing good fundamental type Cardinal type ball. We're not looking ahead. We're taking it one play at a time.
We're
playing, working on, you know, fundamentals, playing good, solid. You know, we're going out there. We're putting our stirrups on 1 foot at a time. We're fielding 9 players, and all 9 players are out there playing Red Sox type ball. Fundamental ball. Ball club. It's a strong ball club. Oh, Orioles, yeah, they're good. They have a good ball club. They have a good pitching ball club. They have actually have clubs and balls. Actually, we call them bats, but they're a good ball club. We just call them ball bats.
Anyway. I promised Danny a prostitution story.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
At around 1:10 a.m. on Monday.
But you already said Vicodin once, so you got my attention.
Okay, good. I had you at Vicodin. At around 1:10 a.m. on Monday, in the state of
Florida.
Yes.
Shocker.
I don't know these stories, everybody. Nope. I just know if it's weird, it's Florida or Germany.
Christmas came early for a 32-year-old man. He was riding his bike down the street when he was approached by a prostitute who weighed approximately 300 delicious pounds.
Hey, you got to be good if you're feeding yourself that way as a prostitute. That's the way I look at it.
You're at a disadvantage, right?
I'm looking at it as your business is booming. You must be doing something right.
To afford all the food.
Yes.
Well, this man ran into this 300-pound prostitute. Again, he was riding his bike. She asked him if he wanted to have a date. Apparently, when you're a prostitute, that doesn't really mean going to the movies or dinner.
No, it doesn't. It's an opening statement so you can say how much you'll spend.
Well, he politely said no. He was not interested in a date. Then he told her he felt sorry for her having to be a prostitute, and he reached into his wallet to give her $10. And that's when he learned that there's no wrath like the wrath of a scorned 300-pound prostitute. She pushed him off his bike, wrestled him down, stole $100 from his wallet, and took off on his bicycle.
Wow.
He had it coming.
He did?
Yeah, he's an idiot. Didn't he know that was going to happen?
He was trying to give her $10.
Why didn't he know that?
You don't know that?
That the prostitute's going to roll you if you give her $10?
Okay. This is radio, so you may have to describe the action.
Okay.
Here's the 300-pound prostitute or the 120-pound prostitute, and you agree on a price of $40. Now I have about $500 in my wallet right now.
Oh.
Because I was planning on going away.
Right.
You never, ever do this.
Open your wallet and expose.
They have hands, they're like magicians, like kung fu artists. They're in and out of your wallet and disappeared, and you're broke. You never do that. You turn your back. You get out the $40. You put your wallet back into your pocket, and you turn, you give them the money.
Hold on a second. You turn your back to them.
And then you do your business with your wallet.
Yeah, but that seems like they'll just kick you in the ass and take your wallet.
Right.
Turn your back
Remember,
to them.
Okay, this is the only one 300-pound prostitute. Most prostitutes just want to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
It's their job. It's their profession.
But
they're not muggers.
He was just—I know. That's why he was giving her $10.
Not going to happen. She's not a hooker because she only needs $10. She's a junkie. She's a food addict. She's whatever. I have a little expertise in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's going. If you open your wallet for charity for 90% of thieves, they're going to grab your wallet and run like the wind. You can't show all the money while you take out a 10.
How do we know what he did?
It just says what he did. He opened his wallet. She grabbed him, knocked him off his bike, and took his bike. I could have told you that.
No, he said he gave her $10. That's what it said.
What did it say?
He reached into his wallet to give her a 10.
And?
That's when she shoved him off his bike and stole $100 from the wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And then rode off with his bike.
Sad.
All I know is that never happens on Hookers on the Point. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. F you, CNN.
You can sports me all day, Carolla, but when you get the hooker etiquette, don't
right.
play in my pool.
So, Danny, you say turn your back to them.
Well, did you have, theoretically, mm-hmm. you have the money in your pocket when you pull up to the hooker area.
The exact amount.
You either the exact amount that you're willing to dicker for, if you will. You can also keep another 20 in your other pocket in case you can't make that deal work. But you do not want to have real dough on you. When you're going to a crack neighborhood, don't hide the money anywhere. Just don't bring it because they don't rob you in the crack neighborhood. They strip you naked within 1 second because they know Whitey got all scared and hid money in his shoes, hid money in his underwear, hid money in his socks. I have been stripped naked in the middle of Philadelphia streets 10 times.
Saw left the laying down on the ground. TMZ.
Left laying down on the ground with my clothes and shoes, and they take your keys. For some reason, they don't want to steal your car. They take your keys and run, and then throw your keys so you can kind of hear or see where they land. And then you have your option of getting your keys while naked and getting the hell out, or getting dressed and getting your keys and getting your hell out. But that's how that's done. You're stripped naked, like by vultures. It's so you're just naked all of a sudden. It's an amazing feat.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
See, there's some things we don't all know. Is there, American genius?
I just learned something. I mean, are there any other valuable tips for
visiting
a prostitute?
Stay out of that neighborhood.
T-Bone?
Yeah?
We put a fork in your news?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, This Week in Rage. Did Mike hand me the topics, by the way?
Oh, God, I know what they are. Backwards and forth. You were great.
I don't know what the hell they are. Let's see. Here we go. This Week in Rage. We have goalposts not being extended. Taking ceramics in horticulture instead of learning CPR and first aid in school. Metal Budweiser bottle with the screw top or without the screw top. Oh, that was humiliating. Big dogs and their huge nut sacks. And paparazzi complaining about getting run over by Britney Spears when they all dive in front of her Mercedes. We'll take ourselves a break. This Week in Rage, when we come back.
This is the Adam Carolla Show. This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
Where we count down the top five things that made Adam mad this week.
I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.
Gentlemen, start your anger.
Bring it on.
Here's Adam.
All right, T, we have some good and some bad things working for us on this Week in Rage.
What's the good?
The good is I'm tired. I'm really, really tired, and thus I'm irritable. Ooh. I'm in a horrible, irritable mood.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sleep deprived. I haven't seen my kids in 72 hours, and I'm angry.
Maybe if Paul Bryan played you a little bit of your kids.
Let's see.
That would cheer you up.
All right. The point is that's...
Maybe it makes you even angrier.
Yeah, that's the good. The good is I'm tired. Now you say, why is that good? Well, I'm angry.
Cranky.
I'm fired up. Yes, I'm not satiated. I feel I'm on my last nerve.
But what's the bad?
The bad is I'm tired.
What's the good? They're both
the good and the bad are the tired.
I see.
The tired is a motivating force.
Got it.
I'm angry. I'm ragged, man. Don't mess with me.
But you're a quart low.
I'm at least a couple of pints down.
Got
yeah.
Okay.
I can't think.
Uh-oh.
You know, your ability to think, really. I mean, you know, when you start getting sleep deprived and then somebody says, quick, what street do you live on? And you're like, you know.
Up there.
It's off of Bunsen, Hudson, yeah, somethingson. It's right off of the
thing.
It's right off the, you know, the 10. What's this stupid slab of cement that goes through the part of the thing with the church steeple and the federal building, a town? Oh, Christ. You know, this is what happens to your brain when your brain doesn't sleep.
Yes, it can't function.
What about your body? Angie and I went through this not too long ago, and something fell through this weekend, so I'm having my first day off in 67 days.
Mm-hmm.
7 days a week for 67 days. Mm-hmm. So this weekend is off because I got sick.
Right.
And I felt sick most of the time, as in, like, parts of my body were starting to fail me. Do you feel that in any way? Like, physically weak?
I never feel anything physically. When I get really sleep deprived, my eyes hurt and my head hurts, and I feel like I can hear my own voice rattling around in my vacant skull.
Oh, I don't need sleep.
Wait till the
that.
Rest of us hear your voice rattling in our skulls.
Right. So what you're going to get rage. Is a very vitriolic, yet uninspired. At least, I mean, it'll be I'll be like a the world's greatest motivational speaker who just left his thesaurus at the airport. Oh. You know what I mean? I'll be like the ex-jock who's really a stupid guy, but he's been through a lot. And he's got a lot of passion, and he's a very religious guy. You know what I'll be like? The great Reggie White.
But without the passion.
The Minister of Defense. No, you'll have passion. You're just not going to have a whole lot of verbiage to back it up.
Oh, okay. Because my dad taught me a little trick for when I was driving and getting tired. I would burn the back of my hand with a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 10 full minutes, you'd be sharp as a tack again.
Danny,
so if you want.
You were 9, and that was a big wheel. Your
yeah,
father
but he kept
is
me
way
alert.
Out of line.
He kept me alert. Dude, I never had a major big wheel accident. So if you were like, ask your little
swerved
buddy.
Swerved into oncoming
big
wheel traffic. Big
wheel on a-
ask your little buddy who's coming over for a game of hooker catch later this afternoon. I will, if you would like, just burn the back of your hand every now and again when you're giving the signal with a cigarette.
I think I'm going to need it. And right. Again, I'll not be
I'm
tired.
I'm ready, boss.
Just to be lucky if I can spit out the name of my own kids. Where do we start on This Week in Rage?
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
Goalpost not being extended. Every third kick in the NFL I've seen this year has sailed over the top of the goalpost. Not the crossbar, the goalpost. And when it goes over the top of the goalpost, just like a home run ball going over the top of a foul pole, you can't tell if it was fair or it was foul. Now, the 63-year-old guy with the cataracts looking up in the night sky, who looks straight up and then gets lightheaded and has to sit down, he's the guy who calls it in a hummingbird's heartbeat, fair or foul. He usually calls it foul. I see the replay. It looks like it would have hit and caromed in. What could the possible excuse be for not extending the 10 cents worth of steel pole another 12 feet times every stadium so we could be satisfied? You use instant replay because people want to know unequivocally, fair or foul, in or not, touchdown or not. How about field goal or not? Arguably the biggest play in football oftentimes comes down to the field goal at the end. Yet we're not interested, but here's the part that makes me absolutely insane. I can't be the only guy who's been saying this for the last 5 years. What about all the people on the NFL competition committee? Their job is to just discuss things that have to do with officials and competition. Certainly it must come up. And then if it does come up, who could possibly shoot it down? Who could possibly, who's the one hand that goes up and says, I don't want another 8 feet tacked onto the goalpost. I think this would ruin the game for all the spectators. It's a no-brainer. It doesn't affect anything except for accuracy. Why won't we do it? How come I'm the only person that talks about it? I need a shotgun. Put it in my mouth. I'm going to kill myself. What's next? Oh.
Number 4.
Ceramics, horticulture, practical arts. That's what they called it when I was in the 7th grade. Practical arts. Now, why is this coming up? Again, LA Unified School District, there would be a class action lawsuit against your ass if we could fill out paperwork. If your students, if the people that pass through your doors could actually sit down and fill out paperwork without either stopping in masturbating or playing video games or both, it is called a joystick after all, you would be sued out of existence. Because when I was in the 7th grade and I went to that warehouse, nay, outhouse, known, it's not only, they're not warehousing anymore, they're outhousing. I wish they'd start whorehousing. That'd be a little motivation for the Ace Man. But when I went to the outhouse known as Walter Reed Junior High, we had practical arts. every seventh grade boy had to be turned into a seventh grade girl. And they gave us a choice. Do you want ceramics? Do you want horticulture? Do you want cooking? Or do you want sewing? Well, the Ace Man took all of those classes in the seventh and the eighth grade. And later on, went on to become a ceramics major over at North Hollywood High. Still paying dividends to this day. I sold a pinch pot and an ashtray just yesterday. I'm supporting my family on slab and coil pots. Where was I? Ah, yes. We had those classes. But you know what classes they don't offer? Basic life saving. How did this come up? Speaking of football, Sean Taylor, the safety for the Redskins, he was killed. Why? Was he shot in the head? Was he shot in the heart? Nope, he was shot in the leg. And there was a girl in his apartment, and she did not put a tourniquet on it. She did not apply pressure, and he bled out, and he died. A little basic life skill savings would have probably saved this 24-year-old's life, yet nobody knows it. Why? Not taught in school. What is taught is how I can make a goddamn Pillsbury Parmesan popover. That's right. In cooking class, you take Pillsbury dough, you put Parmesan cheese on it, and you put it in the oven for 10 minutes, and then you eat it. That's what I learned. And in sewing class, I learned how to make a tie-dyed pillowcase. All sorts of very important life-saving skills. Why not teach people the very, arguably the most important thing you could learn, basic life-saving skills? How about that? And then if we have time when we're done, we'll teach them how to make an ashtray in ceramics or an effing knapsack in sewing class. I'm disgusted at all of you.
Number three.
Boy, was my manhood challenged last Sunday. I was over at Kimmel's house. I went out to the cooler and I grabbed myself a brewski. What was it? It was a Budweiser in one of those new metal bottles. And then I stood there in front of the TV set and I reached down and I started giving it a twist. And then I twisted a little harder. Then I felt the little skin break on the inside of my thumb and forefinger and I twisted a little harder and I looked at the bottle and I said, this is American Brew. This is a Budweiser. This has a twist top. This is not a pop top. Everything Budweiser makes is a twist top. And so I twisted a little harder and a little bead of sweat started to roll down my forehead and then a tear started to well up in my left eye and then I scanned the room. The Ace Man's lost it. I could see the look. I could see the look on the faces. I saw the prying eyes. Oh, yeah, you say you don't judge, but tell that to your pupils. I can see you're judging me. The Ace Man, once proud warrior, once a king of the gridiron, can't even get into his own beer. Well, I twisted a little harder, and then I realized, just after the last of my confidence was eroded by this 12 ounces of carbonated joy, I realize not a twist top, a pop top! And how many times have I said it? Folks, I don't care which one we choose, but let's pick one. 40 to 65 times a week, I grab a beer and guess wrong and break the skin on the inside of my whatever. And you never know when to have a bottle opener. You go to a party, you grab a beer, the guy didn't put the bottle opener out because half of them were twist top, the others pop top. If we don't decide on twist top or pop top, at least within the old brands, at least have the domestic stuff be a twist top and have the foreign imported stuff be a pop top. Budweiser, please do not make 95% of your product twist top and the 5% I get over at Kimmel's a pop top. I popped my cherry on your pop top and my soul drained out. The hell was I?
Number two.
Forgot I even talked about this. Every dog is now being spayed, right? They're all spayed and neutered, right? There's no such thing as doggy parts anymore. I felt like I grew up just staring at Big Dog Sack. Good name for a clothing line. You go to the park, there'd be a Newfoundland or a St. Bernard or big schnauzer running around, and wow, look at that dog. Proportionately more sack than human beings.
Oh, yeah.
You show me a 200-pound man and a 60-pound dog, I'll show you the same sack.
Right. And more attractive.
And more attractive, yeah. Yes. And if you've done the Beaker water displacement experiment with me as many times as I have, you'll realize I am right. Hard to find volunteers on the human side of that one, but I did. What the hell? It's research. So I had to drug a few bumps. Here's my point. They've now neutered every single dog. My kids are going to grow up in a world where they don't know the difference between male dog and female dog at the park, and you have to guess. Is it a he? Is it a she? Who is it? And you have to make that call. Oh, look at her. And then you get corrected by the gay owner. No, it's a him. It's not a him. It's Sparky. It's not a blah, 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 blah. Where have all the sacks gone? Get Joni Baez on the blower. Get her to write a song. Sit down with Peter Paul and Sacky and write yourself a strumming song. All right, so I don't say that the ones that have been removed need to be surgically reattached, but I'm saying, how about this? How about we let the dogs have their sacks back and we just put fences up? They don't get to rape the other dogs. What's my last one?
Number one.
The paparazzi. By the way, this gaining 38% of the vote at AdamCarolla.com. Every time I turn on Entertainment Tonight, there's another news story about Britney Spears running over one of the gay sandals of the paparazzi. Yes, your hemp-made Birkenstock got ran over by one of the Goodyears that the Brit girl is rocking on what is seems like one of her many Mercedes-Benzes. Now, look, I'm no mathematician, I'm no driving instructor, but I can do this one. This chick is text messaging a bedazzled phone. She has a dashboard which looks like the porch of a frat house. It is lined with pumpkins and fast food wrappers. I don't know why she has the plastic pumpkins. Maybe it's a religious thing, like when you go into the Korean liquor store and you see that scary cat. Maybe it's that. I don't know who she worships, possibly the Great Pumpkin. But every time I see Britney, she has a bunch of pumpkins all over the dash of her Mercedes. The chick is beaked up on diet pills. She's dumb as a stump. She's high as a kite. She's got enough DUIs to fill her glove box. And you think it's a good idea while she's text messaging, eating fast food, looking through a sea of pumpkins and trying to restrain one of her kids with her arm to jump in front of her car so you can get a shot of Britney Spears? By the way, what is she, a Yeti? What is it, Sasquatch? Who is she, Osama bin Laden? We don't have a shot of Britney Spears! I just want to get one clean shot of her. It'll be worth millions of dollars. I close my eyes, I see that bitch. There's nothing but shots of Britney Spears. We not only have shots of her, what parts do you want?
Yeah.
You want downstairs?
Yeah,
you want it. Upstairs? You want a PET scan? You want a CAT scan? You want a culture? Sonogram. I got liver cultures of her. I'll show you pictures of. Do you really need to step in front of this drunk bitch's car to get another shot? And if you do, well, you deserve to get your gay ass ran over. And by the way, would it be a bad thing if those guys just got ran over and couldn't produce and couldn't reproduce? Would it be a bad thing if these guys, not that any of them are straight, I think there's three Australian ones that are straight, but if these guys couldn't give birth to a demon seed that would then grow up and jump in front of celebrity cars to take pictures, how bad would this effing earth be? I say if you want to step in front of Britney, you deserve to get ran over, and I have a new invention.
Yes!
Remember the cow catcher? They put it on the trains, the iron horse.
Yeah, sure.
Turn of the century, the trains would sleep on front of the tracks. The cows would sleep on the train. How about a puss catcher? How about Britney takes a thing and puts it on the front of the Mercedes and she just sweeps up those pussy paparazzis as she mows them over in the parking lot of the yogurt shop? That's what I say. I'll see you in Guy Ritchie's dojo.
not quite
until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
Not quite what I was hoping for in the puss catcher. But
I enjoyed that.
That was the best one.
My favorite part was Walter Reed being a warehouse, which was really an outhouse, which you'd wished would have been a whorehouse, and you wanted to probably suffocate yourself with one of the handmade tie-dyed pillowcases you were forced to make in home ec.
Oh, okay. Really?
That was, interestingly enough, one of my least favorites.
I
although
liked it.
Impassioned, as always, it's bull crap that I can't get ashtrays. And I think it starts with you little bastards in ceramic classes being told not to make them anymore.
Right.
I can't get an ashtray. Well, to save my life would be a bad term. I can't get an ashtray to help me die at least a little more cleanly without
right.
ashes on my floor or blowing in the wind and flicking my cigarettes out of my car. Doesn't have an ashtray. It has a coin
right.
holder. It doesn't have a cigarette lighter. It has a plug where you could plug in something electric. There are no ashtrays.
They don't put ashtrays out if someone's throwing a party.
Remember
anymore.
Remember when they used to do that? Yeah.
They would put an ashtray, actually, it would, my mom back in the day would just bake it into a casserole. There was ashtrays everywhere.
Right, of course.
There was nonstop ashtrays. There were cigarettes out on display.
Yeah.
We had fancy cigarette go-rounds in the front of every centerpiece, and you just pick them off the table. But here's the deal, everybody. If you're throwing a party, 10%, 20% of the people that come over and enjoy a libation are going to light up a cigarette, put an ashtray out.
Then put outside even.
I went to a party and everyone was throwing the cigarette butts on the ground.
Yeah.
And the owner of the party was like, hey, man, this is not the beach. Pick that up. And it's like, hey, man.
Get us an ashtray.
Get an ashtray.
By the way, hey, man, can't smoke on the beach anymore.
Right.
No, the world's biggest ashtray and you,
and
can't,
you can't smoke
on
it.
All right.
A nice weekend, Ray.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're
thank
all
you.
Going to hell in a basket.
But not in an ashtray.
or a puss catcher.
Or a puss catcher. Who's
do
up next?
Do you use one of those in the hooker ball game that Adam and I are going to play together?
Sure, that's what they
catcher.
Pinch puss catcher.
Right on.
Joel McHale, the dreamy one.
He is cute.
Now, he's running a little bit late. Whoops. Little trouble with the old lady.
Oh,
I
really?
Did meth and trafficked hookers in Thailand.
But he's on his way. Well, she seems to be good enough, so I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that McHale is going to be here next. I'll tell you what, Danny's pushing for Forgiveness Friday.
It's
and
my
I
favorite
like
thing.
That.
Everybody I ran into that heard it thought it was the
I really
best
like
thing.
Maybe
too.
We should do that. Angie. Joel McHale, ETA, don't know? All right, well then let's do Forgiveness Friday.
I am
Yo Gabba Gabba.
I am an ordained minister,
mm-hmm.
so I can, in fact, give you absolution.
Right.
Adam is a certified genius and can explain to you the depth of your crime and guilt and how to feel better about yourself. And you are one of the most emotional people I know. So I think collectively,
yeah,
the three of us...
Yeah, she's a mess.
Thanks.
I mean, she's empathic.
The three of us
fine
can
line,
really
my
make
friend.
You feel better. And just really getting something terrible off your chest that you've been holding in. You slept with your best friend's girlfriend.
Yes, let's not start the weekend with a rucksack filled with guilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's purge.
Said.
Let's purge.
Let's call 1-866-901-ADAM and do Forgiveness Friday.
We'll
get
do
it
that.
Off your chest, and we will make you happy.
We'll do it next.
Fixing your call 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Today is a Forgiveness Friday. So we want to know who you want to forgive and why you should be forgiven. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
I scoff at a lot of these, bro.
Really?
Give yourself a second to chew. This guy needs absolution because he slept with hookers while he was married.
Should we talk to him?
Let me ask you this question right off the bat.
Yeah.
Which would you prefer... Once you were married, a guy went and paid his money to a nameless, faceless stranger and came home, was protected himself, or liked a girl and saw her on a regular basis.
I prefer the hookers.
Any girl in her right mind would prefer. So right off the bat, before we absolve you, you're already less guilty than you think you were 10 seconds ago when you called in.
Wow, is it Lesser of Two Evils Day or Forgiveness Friday?
Oh, no, I'm going to probably, I think collectively, we'll make this guy feel great. But I just want you to know right off the bat, you're not as bad as you think you were just when you dialed our number.
I always like when people ask the loaded question. Everyone does that. Like when you're talking to your wife and you go, look, which would you rather do? You know, we're going on a road trip. Bed and breakfast, going to someone's filthy, rat-infested house with a retarded teenager and be sexually abused by grandfather, or go to a nice, tidy, clean hotel. I'll leave it up to you. Up to you. Coin toss. You make the decision. I don't care myself.
No, it's like your choice. Yeah, if you'd rather I fall madly in love with somebody and leave you, you know... That's fine, but I prefer to go to just simply to a hooker who's clean.
Drew?
Gretchen asked me if I would marry if she died, and I said I'd bring a date to your funeral. Just, you know, I tell the truth on matters that count.
Drew?
Yeah. Hello?
What's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
So, you've been hanging out with hookers?
Well, I like to call them and talk to them, like, kind of like, I guess the idea of it is kind of exciting and all, but I've been with a few.
In call, or do you go to massage parlors?
Both.
Okay, in call, stupid.
How's in call work?
It's triple as expensive. They know where you are. If you're registered or at a hotel, you have to give the hotel guy your real name. They have to be able to ask for you. They've got your credit card number. So a hooker walks up to a hotel desk and says, hey, is Drew Smith here? You don't want that. You don't need that. Half of these people are in the job of prostitution, and the other half are in the job of blackmail. Make sure they leave their purses or anything large enough to hold a recorder, a camera, or anything else around the corner in the hallway in the hotel room. Do not let them bring any kind of baggage into the room.
The more you know. But,
yeah.
You're going to have a hard time telling the hooker to put a bag on the hall.
I know. No, this did not happen with Rebecca De Mornay in Risky Business.
Okay, dude. Yeah. She's the employee. Have you ever told the gardener, stop gardening, stop the blower, I've got an important phone call?
Yeah.
They stopped the blowing.
But if I said, throw the lawnmower in the pool, he'd tell me to F myself.
No, not in the hallway outside.
Oh, you mean the hallway?
Or in your kitchen, or behind the chair, wherever it is that it cannot have a little camera or a little recorder.
Can we get to the bottom of Drew's situation here?
I think if Drew likes to get to the bottom of hookers, I can help him out.
Drew, what do you think is the appeal of calling and visiting hookers for you?
It's just different. I usually do it only when I'm mad at my wife. I guess I don't feel so guilty when I'm mad at her, but I did it recently when I wasn't mad at her, and now I'm kind of, doesn't feel cool.
Slippery hooker slope.
Right.
I couldn't disagree more, so please.
Lost a lot of friends there.
So it's like a grudge F.
Well, here's what it is.
Up with someone else.
Here's what happens. First off, stuff gets easier the more you do it.
Yep, true.
You start off going, I could never see myself taking another life, and then you start to enjoy it at a certain point. Next thing you know, we got a serial killer on our hands.
Now he's on a wood chipper because it's more fun.
Right. So this has obviously gotten easier for young Drew. The other thing is you get in these little shame spirals where it's like the more you smoke, the more you smoke, and the more you drink, the more you drink, and the more you hang out with hookers, the more you hang out with hookers.
Wait till he gets to something bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's all before noon for the douche man. Hey, Drew, how about this? Here's my advice for all those who are thinking about apologizing to their significant other or feeling guilty about it. The best thing you could do is to knock it off. Like, the best apology you could give them would be to stop.
Right. It's going to hurt them more if you apologize and then tell them about it.
I would not say a word, but I would recommit myself to my partner, and I would do it via... I would not do it on top of another woman. Let's just put it that way. So perhaps you should look at that. Now, here's an interesting question. Are you addicted to anything else? Because there's a lot of people where they have these sort of dual addictions.
Cross addiction.
Yeah, they only hook up with the hookers when they're high. Right. You have any of that, Drew?
Actually, that is a good question. I got an addictive personality. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Right, but do you only hook up with the hookers when you're high, or do you hook up with hookers stone cold sober?
Oh, sober.
Yeah.
If it's not the hookers, then it would be gambling or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the trick here,
but that's another can of worms.
Some kind of absolution, Mr. Carolla.
Yes. All right. So here's what we'll do. We'll give forgiveness to you with this one caveat. Nothing's free. You're like a judge saying, I'm not going to put you in prison. Ah, but here's the twist. You must stay out of the whorehouses.
All right.
For the next 10 days.
Okay.
My forgiveness works a little different. Short-term achievable goals.
That's right.
One day you will wait. How long have you been married?
7 years.
7 years. That's around the time, it's going to come soon, that you are going to wake up and look at your lovely wife who you loved and adored, and you're going to look at her and your first thought is going to be, oh my God, it's still you. But if every now and again you take yourself a short little hooker break, and you think of that hooker every now and again, that can last for months and months and months of pleasure with your own wife, who you will then stay interested in. I say you will keep your marriage going longer. You're kind of doing the right thing. And it is not the world's oldest profession because of you, Drew. It's the world's oldest profession because it was the smartest thing to do since the beginning of time. You're fine.
All right, Drew. All's forgiven.
All right. Hey, you guys are the best.
All right, call us when you start killing him.
Yeah, when you start killing him, we'll have a problem.
Let's see.
But I can still help.
I'm interested in two calls. I'm interested in Jennifer from Portland, who moved in with best friend and her man and is sleeping with her.
Okay, see, I hate chicks that do that. I have a problem.
But I also have a problem with Toby, who's, he's sleep. Wait a minute. Ah, somebody's doing something at a bus stop. I don't know what it means, but I'm curious.
Oh, I got it.
Hey,
Mike?
You're just a dick.
Yeah, how's it going, Adam?
What are you doing at bus stops?
Well, I was probably a young buck. I'm 32. I was about 16, and I pulled up to a stoplight, looked to the right over at Fresno State, and the whole lane was flooded with water about a foot deep. And I was in my dad's 79 F-150 4x, and I saw an opportunity, and I took it, and... I just couldn't describe the tidal wave that was coming off this truck.
You do the drive-by and spray people with the paddles.
You were a teenager at the time?
Probably 17, young buck, and I was with my friend, and I just looked over and said, oh, my God, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the problem with mussing with people at the bus stop. It's like the guys that go and punch hobos who are passed out. I would love to see someone come up and if Dick Cheney was waiting for a bus.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? If the leader of some Fortune 500 company was waiting on a bus or some leader of some Baltic Republic that was into ethnic cleansing was waiting for a bus, I would love you to go by in your dad's 4x F-150 and give him a nice hosing. But these people are like poor maids who don't have cars, who are making minimum wage. That's why I feel bad for these people. Right. You are the Robin Hood who sprays the rich with puddle water and gives to the poor. You are the opposite of that. You're Friar. Well, it starts with an F.
Yeah.
So you feel bad about this. This was many years ago. Yes.
Yes. And also, I like to thank you because I do have a great story to tell. I mean, 30 people, at least 30 people. Adam.
It's not that great a story. It kind of makes you sound like a douche. Can I present an idea?
Please do.
Because I pass by this bus stop almost every morning. There's about 20 people just waiting for the bus, and I spent my entire childhood waiting for buses in the rainy haze of San Francisco. Here's what you do, and I think this will get you absolution. You drive yourself to a bus stop with a fistful of $5 bills, and you hand them out to everyone there, and then you leave.
Okay, that would be a great idea if it weren't stupid.
Like Ava Perón throwing money out of the train.
Why not give
back to random people waiting for a bus?
Here's the thing.
The bad part was is we drove back by the other way and everybody was flipping us off and yelling.
They got vengeance. Here's the deal on this, man. I am now 48 years old, and the coolest thing I have in the whole wide world that I actually own is, and of course, Adam's going to point out it's not really a GTO yet, but I have a 1967 GTO convertible. I spent my 17-year-old years egging cars. Thought it was funny.
Yes.
Somebody egged my GTO when I was 45. I was going to cry. Mm-hmm. It hurt my feelings so bad. Why would anybody do that to this work of art? The difference is your age, man. You are a teenager. Teenagers do stupid things without thinking of the repercussions of what they have done. Are you going to do it again?
Like he said, if it was someone important, I might have to be tempted.
But basically, if you drive by a bunch of maids and things like Adam said, and you're those waiting for the bus, are you going to do it to them again?
So if you saw CEO of, like, Halliburton standing out there, you'd give him a dose.
He's got
a little frontier justice.
Yeah, you got it.
So if you see a white guy in his 50s who's wearing glasses with $2,000 frames and he's wearing $5,000 worth of camel hair duster, then you go ahead and hit that guy, except for that guy never rides the bus.
Plus, he just got mugged by trying to be one
All
of
right.
the people.
He doesn't want to be absolved.
No, he does.
The
no, plus, then he'd take my suggestion.
Yes.
And he'd dole out a few bucks to some people patiently.
Look, I'm
the
with
bus.
Danny on this one. We all did things when we were teenagers, and here's how life works. Some teenager will do something to my car shortly, or I will get my house TP'd or egged, and that will be 0.1% of all that I did as a teen.
If it hasn't happened, because it did happen to my GTO, and it hurt my feelings so bad, and I thought, why would they do that to my car? And then I thought, all the cars I've done it to, you are absolved because of your youth. You did what you did then. You would never do it again.
Jennifer?
Yes?
Now,
hi, Adam.
Your situation.
Yeah. We have a horror problem here.
Exciting. What do you look like, first of all?
I'm short. I'm about 5'4".
Awesome.
Not a problem.
And I have a tan and dark hair and dark eyes.
Do you wear anything when you tan?
What's that?
Do you wear like underwear, a bra, bikini, anything?
Yes, matching underwear and bra.
Cool. I love tan lines. I'm a huge fan of tan lines. Yeah, that was a personal thing.
Jennifer, what celebrity do you look
too,
like?
But it's weird. Wait a minute. But I don't think she got that one. Do you tan outside or you go to a tan salon?
No, I live in Portland, Oregon, so yeah. I have to do the fake and bake.
Right. And do you do it naked?
Yes.
Oh, right. So she did misunderstand.
She just want to know what you're wearing
it's
now.
It's weird. All three of us here, and Big Brian, how do you feel about tan lines? You like them or you don't like them?
Good times.
See, the tan lines are like arrows to the good spots.
Right.
So think about that in the future. But that's a personal thing. Please, Adam, get back to absolving this young lady.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm down with the tan lines.
Thanks,
I dig them, too.
Yeah, so she has no tan lines and dark hair and eyes. Is there any celebrity you look like that people tell you you look like?
People tell me I look like the girl from Charmed that's not Alyssa Milano and not Shannon Doherty.
The answer to the celebrity
Rose
question
McGowan?
Is no.
Is that like Holly? I think your name's Holly Marie Combs.
Either way, all those chicks are hot, so I'll go ahead and toss you on the hot pile. So, Jennifer, you're hot, and your situation is what?
Okay, so this happened when I was in college. And
I like it when they go back.
Yeah.
One forgiveness to something from the past.
It's about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was friends with this girl, and I was also friends with her boyfriend. And one day the girl went out of town, and her boyfriend and I threw a party at his house, kind of with a couple other people. And we got really drunk, and we ended up sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
And she obviously did not find out through anybody. Nobody said anything. And about a month later, we decided to get a house together.
You and the girl?
The three of us plus two other roommates.
All right, so all of you now. Now you're living under the house with the guy you cheated with and her girlfriend, who's your friend.
I need absolution just for what I'm thinking about right now.
So
Jennifer,
then what?
This is all in Portland?
No, this is down in Ashland.
Okay.
Let's throw in some Crisco and make this story great.
And what happened?
Well, I just felt so bad about sleeping with him in the first place.
Right. But why'd you do it in the second and the third place?
Well, I didn't.
You never did it again?
No, because I felt so bad.
And what about him? Was he pushing for it?
No, I don't.
This is weird.
Did you have some weird kind of pube comb over or something?
No.
Is there something wrong with you downstairs?
Yeah, just,
because I don't know a guy who'd have sex with a girl, cheat on his girlfriend once. And by the way, you either cheat or you don't. It
really? There's
no
chippers? No one time?
I had to go buy.
Not living in the same house.
I had to go buy, and I didn't even like her anymore.
I just felt so bad.
See, I had to go buy a home because I had a huge wing of a home with a separate entrance with my wife. But I knew sex was on the other side of the door and couldn't take it. So I had to buy a home. So what Adam is saying is, this guy's now slept with this girl, lives in the house with her, and ain't pushing. Something's wrong.
Well, he could sleep with his girlfriend also in the same house.
Doesn't count. Yeah,
exactly.
Doesn't matter.
And what about you, Jennifer? You never wanted to sleep with the guy again? You weren't jealous of the girlfriend? You didn't have a crush on the guy?
Well, it wasn't very good for me.
Ooh.
You mean the sex wasn't good for you?
No, the sex wasn't good.
What was wrong with it?
Well, I don't know if it... I mean, it probably could have been because we were both drunk.
Yeah. just make this quick observation with Jennifer. A, I now know she's hot.
Right.
Yep.
Here's how you know you're hot.
Long pause.
You feel like you're an interpreter at a retarded teenage embassy. Like, everything you say to her is sort of misunderstood.
Yeah.
You ask about the tan line. She tells you the panties and bra she's wearing. I did Love Line for so many years. I speak fluent tart. I understand when people, I know what they mean and what they don't mean. And that's why I speak fluent Jennifer. Jennifer?
That's your name, Jennifer.
Oh, wait a minute. I pushed up the wrong person. That was on me. Don't Jennifer?
Make her be the tart anyway.
No, I just hit seven, didn't I? Jennifer.
Yeah,
bad time. So he was bad in the sack. You didn't want a second helping. He didn't want a second helping. You guys lived together. This is strange. It never came up again, but yet you were racked with guilt.
Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
You were drunk. S happens. You were young. And you should get some sort of Congressional Medal of Honor or a plaque from the mayor of Portland. And he should, too.
He should get two of them.
Actually, is there a gay part of town in Portland?
Not really.
No, you guys.
You paint such a vivid picture, baby.
You don't understand.
Crackling conversation.
All right.
You
listen,
did something that's not even bad.
I'm cutting my losses with her.
You did something that's not even bad. You called the drunk card when you were young and never did it again. You're not absolved because we absolve you. You're absolved because you're absolved. You didn't commit a crime. You grew up.
Right.
Yeah, she made a mistake. She didn't do it again.
And it's like stealing from work on your first day and then becoming a model employee and never stealing again. You're still a good employee.
I'm going to get to the second part. I'm going to stop the stealing soon and become a really good employee.
We need to take ourselves a break. We'll get let Jennifer get back to her gig auctioning off livestock. When we come back, the frat guys out there, Joel McHale is on his way. Either way, you guys both win next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
There is no end to the information that you have provided us today.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show and the Deaf Frat Guy.
Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Hell yeah.
Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Maverick.
Getting here with the rain, traffic was a bitch.
I understand. It doesn't rain out in L.A. much, but it is raining this morning. You brought a friend with you.
Yeah, bro. I brought the Delta Fu president of the Nantucket, Massachusetts chapter, Skeeter.
That's right. I'm Skeeter, coming out of Nantucket, Mass. It's good to represent out here on the left coast.
Hell yeah. He drove out here in an F-350.
Well, that's a lot of truck. Yeah. So let me just do some math. That car gets 0.7 miles per gallon. Gas is $19 a gallon. Nantucket is 7,000 miles from California. $45,000.
At least, Adam. But you know, it's 10 cylinders of pure American engineering genius.
Now, that's Skeeter, what I love. Did you have any adventures on your way out?
Absolutely. We've been traveling about 1,500 miles with my cameraman, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Hitting cities all the way. Chicago, New York, New Orleans, checking it out. And now it's culminating here on this show.
Yeah, so, and he's going to chapter house after chapter house.
Mm-hmm. So, Mav, this little experiment of yours really has boomed over the last few years.
It makes me really proud.
Mm-hmm.
The fact also, I thought I would not like this, but I'm proud to say that we are going to have a Puerto Rico chapter.
Wow.
You thought you wouldn't like it.
I thought I wouldn't.
Let me say this quickly, because I know Deaf Frat Guy is way too modest to ever bring it up. He showed me a map of the United States. There is a red pin in every city and every state that has a Delta Fu chapter. Not only are there at least 50, but it forms the shape of a beer bong. And I don't know how he worked that out.
That map, I'm proud to say that map has more pins in it now than Danny's sack.
Wow, know what that it's means. Growing by the minute.
But
it doesn't matter what it means. It's got pins in my sack. It must be funny.
Danny, this is really weird, bro.
What up?
What Skeeter kind of told me, kind of bummed me out and ruined my morning a little bit. But he said he's your biggest fan.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, man.
This is an honor.
He saw your life story.
Oh, that was on Biography last night.
And he has a lot of similarities.
I've yet to see it.
The shooting,
go to the post office.
Shooting Royce into his sack.
You've done that, Skeeter?
Once into the sack to see what would happen. Normally in the ass and shoulder.
Mm-hmm. But, Skeeter, you relate to Danny.
Absolutely.
This dude puffs more ganj than I can't say that on air.
How do you feel about cougars? I know Maverick loves the cougars.
Cougars are great.
older lady.
What's a little older than a cougar, though? That's what I'm interested in.
Ooh,
that's
really?
A good question.
I think it's a grilf.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're going to relate to me, what's a little younger than a cougar? What's a little older than a cougar? What's a cougar who's having a stroke and I don't really care that much? As long as it's a girl.
Exactly. So you wanna,
that's
exactly.
My point.
And let me say this, that long bed stepside F-350 dually with the Titan V10 in there holds a lot of grills.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pile that high.
That's right, you know. But I got to tell you, Danny, they call me the Dooch out on the island there.
Oh, really?
Right. Danny B's my nickname, so.
Wow. What a fan.
Right on.
I'm really mixed up right now.
What?
Because on the one hand, he's a Delta Food chapter president, but they call him the Douche, and Danny B is just messing with my head.
It's messing your mind?
It's used to it.
Well, Maverick's had a problem in the past with Danny.
We had a problem because Danny took my job.
I'm not even going to dignify that, but what I will do is tell you how funny almost all my friend think you are.
Hell yeah, bro. But it's like
all your friend love him? But,
that was not a slam on him. That was a slam on me. I just don't have very many friends.
But look, the thing is, you by taking the job, you are taking beer out of my mouth.
I thought that just happened when you booted at the end of the night.
Hell yeah. Sometimes you have to pull the trigger.
Yeah, so no, what, I understand.
I understand.
You pull the trigger, the next day you're fresh.
What's on the docket?
You can be too full to drink more.
Yeah.
Like, you can still be sober enough to drink more and just literally do not have the capacity to hold more, and you got a boot just so you can drink.
Yeah, like, if a cop pulls you over, too, he's like, how many brews do you have tonight? And you're like, none, because I just booted out 18.
Yeah. Oh, no. Cops love that. I wait till they walk up to the door of the car before I boot. Yeah, they love the booting on their boot, as a matter of fact.
Smitty booting on a cop.
Oh, really?
Right on.
Hardcore.
Can you imagine, though? Cops says, how many beers have you had? And you just go, none.
Hey, what do you guys got on the docket tonight? You and Skeeter are going to go out?
Yeah, well, we got the big game this weekend.
Oh, SC, yeah.
And, you know, what can I say? SC favored by 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we want to give UCLA a fair chance, so maybe we're going to... Maybe we're going to deliver some hot wings over there to the team.
Oh. What do you mean? Like,
maybe
they're
nuclear Chernobyl.
Oh, wow. That kind of hot. Wow.
That's seriously
throw them
hot.
Off their game. Yeah, you get all that grease on their hands. They can't catch the ball anymore. That's genius.
Britney Spears in that dress.
Yes.
I'm going to put the boot in John David Booty.
You must be very loyal to the Trojans after being at USC, 7 years now?
Yeah, I mean, I respect 7 years. Is like, actually, Skeeter, though, was 8.
At where? Was he a SC man, too?
No.
Wasted State.
Uh-huh. What's that?
It's Western State University.
Western State. Wow. Oh, I was there for 8 years before he broke off and started the Delta Fu franchise.
East Coast. Hey, can I make a personal announcement?
Yes.
Of course.
I hate to do this, but I really need a web designer.
Really? What's wrong?
The website, deaffratguy.com, has stagnated.
Really? What happened?
I'm explosive.
It's not getting the kind of traffic you'd like?
It gets traffic, but it's the same thing. I really need someone to help me out, because every time I try to get in there, I'd mess it up worse.
How many unique booters did you have last month?
I don't know. I don't even know how to do that.
All right. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to work on this?
Just go to deafratguy.com, email, or they can email the station, and we can start a process
and
of interview.
You can't pay them, per se, but you're willing to give them...
I pay them in a 30-pack per page.
Okay. Wow. All right. That sounds
good
generous.
Money. How about some cougar belt?
Thank you for reminding me. I have a surplus of cougar pelts because I think Fitzy got with a real hairy Italian cougar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We can get hairy.
He was able to shave her bald.
Oh, really? Okay.
All over?
So it's a bumper crop of cougar fur.
All right, be careful, because I thought he said he shaved her balls. And that's a different kind of cougar.
All right, I'll let you guys do a few beer bongs and get with the grills. Hell yeah. We need to take a break. Go to deafratguy.com. Scooter, nice meeting you. I should say Skeeter, nice meeting you.
I should say Danny B. Dukes, nice meeting you, man.
We'll take a quick break. Ah, my old partner, Dr. Drew, on the show next.
Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla, and I'm learning everything about comedy. Will you shut up, you fat-bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Right now, we welcome Adam's old partner, Dr. Drew, to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, what's happening, Drew?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, I was listening to the show last night for the first time in a while because I was driving home at 11:30 last night.
Why were you driving home so late? And by the way, I must tell you something. I thought of you this morning upon awakening because I thought when I jump in my car this morning in this godforsaken weather, the first thing I'm going to do is to tune to a traffic report.
No.
I have to
get across town,
and I need the traffic.
So right. That you can completely change your route because you know the traffic reporter knows the best things to do.
See?
Yes.
Once in my life, I needed that GD traffic report.
Hey, Drew, miss you, brother. Let's do dinner soon. Without the wives, of course.
Can I just add something real quick? Because you introduce him as your old partner. Can I introduce him as a guy that's probably been one of the biggest helps to me in my whole life?
Mm. Oh, that's very kind, Danny.
That's very kind of you, sir.
You've worked with Dr. Drew as a drug counselor?
I pulled Dr. Drew aside at my own show at The Other Half. And I wanted to tell him I was having problems. All of a sudden, I broke down crying. I just said, dude, I'm wrecked. I cannot stop drinking. I'm getting through the show. I'm doing a good job. But that can't go on. What do I do? And then, I mean, that was it. That was our first conversation. And he called and checked on me. And he'd book me on his show just really to help me during his breaks. I just want to say thank you so much for being so concerned with my life. And I just want to say that I truly believe you're one of the three most influential people in getting me sober.
Wow, that's very sweet. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, one thing I love about Danny, he's so deferential to the MD degree. I've never heard anybody wax poetic so much and step aside and hold doors just because I have a degree.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Drew used to get S-ripped mad at all the blowhard celebrities who thought they had a cure for AIDS in the late 90s, who thought their own poo didn't stink, or thought because they read a couple of articles in Blender that they were an expert on communicable diseases. Drew used to hate those guys, and I would too if I went to school for 40 years to have some blowhard from a sitcom try to tell me my business.
Dr. Drew, I imagine that you can't get down a red carpet without five celebrities pulling you aside in tears and asking for your help.
You know, it's funny. I'm doing I drove Adam to distraction for over a year by issuing personality questionnaires to all the celebrities we had on the show every night.
Well, we've heard all about it.
Yes, I know. But
wow. A year?
please.
Thank you for sharing my pain, Teresa.
Yeah, I really do.
A year.
You forced him to fill out this questionnaire on narcissism.
Right, and we were able to show that, you know, surprise celebrities have lots of personality and trauma issues.
Mm-hmm.
And this
brings me to my point. I've been wanting to ask you this since I read the article about Adam in Los Angeles Magazine, where you described him as a recovering narcissist.
Yes, self-described narcissist.
Right.
Where does the recovery start?
It said recovering narcissist. You said having kids and a family has helped.
That's for sure.
All right, but let's break this down. The nine-page Los Angeles Magazine spread that I never spoke about on the air, and there's a nice spread in Billboard Magazine or radio and whatever I would never talk about if it didn't come up either. I don't talk about anything I do.
I think I know what it is, but exactly what is a recovering narcissist?
Yes.
Well, okay. Narcissists basically have trouble appreciating. The part of the brain that develops empathy doesn't work so well. So the experience of other is really seen through the self.
Yes.
And so to experience other people as having feelings or prioritizing those feelings ahead of your own, it's tough. It's tough. And if you had lots and lots of therapy, as Adam has, or if you've left therapy prematurely, much to the demise, much to the chagrin of the group leader and the group. Maybe some of those narcissistic issues didn't get fully processed, but still, you know, it's just a little residual left behind.
And what is the difference between a true narcissist? Because if the way you described it, it's different from what I thought. What is the difference between a narcissist and a total sociopath?
Yeah, the sociopath is severe narcissist.
About 4 feet.
Wait, who's more narcissistic, Dr. Drew? Adam Carolla or Danny Bonaduce?
Oh, I am.
Hold on. Let the MD answer.
I will recuse myself from this one.
Oh, come on.
But let me just say, sociopaths, other people really don't exist except for their own needs. They don't exist at all.
Yes, I have many of the aforementioned attributes. But I will tell you this. I was working on a big national commercial over the last couple of days.
Nice.
They've asked me not to say the product, so I'll respect that until the check clears. But when I pulled up in the town car to the set, we shot in Eagle Rock during the day 2 days ago, and as we pulled up, I saw there were cops standing around. I had a trailer that was 80 feet long and had everything but a stripper pole in it. Literally had a full-size bed and everything in it.
I get the
stripper pole. As we pulled up, I saw trailers, cops, vans, semis, a beehive of activity, and I thought, wow, all those people are here for me, and I wanted to tell the driver to keep driving.
I absolutely know that about you, and you and I both share that thing, right? We don't, I mean, that is like the most uncomfortable, and Adam would always describe it as anybody paying attention to him, believe this or not, is very uncomfortable.
No, I believe that.
So now, I do have the part where other people don't exist.
Right.
But I have the part where I wish I didn't exist.
Right.
So it's a nice
makes
twist.
Sense. Dr. Drew, you've also been very vocal, which I love about you whenever I see you on the cable news shows, about certain celebrities and what you perceive to be their obvious difficulty with drugs, such as Britney Spears.
Yeah, and first of all, I'm outraged at sort of how it's reported. And then secondly, I'm really fearful for these young women. I mean, we're looking at several women who are constantly under the magnifying glass of, or at least the scrutiny of the press, and they're sick. And Britney particularly, I mean, what I always say is if you forget you're talking about Britney Spears and just add up the score for this young lady, let's call her Britney Smith. Britney Smith has manifested bizarre behaviors. Britney Smith is documented in court to be doing drugs. Britney Smith has left chemical dependency treatment impulsively, prematurely. Britney Smith has child care demands, a stressful career, a recent divorce, probable depressive issues. I mean, Britney Smith is in very serious trouble.
I had no idea my name was Britney Smith.
Really interesting. What about Lindsay
Smith?
Lindsay Smith, on the other hand, you say, okay, severe drug addict. I mean, just flat out severe drug addict who, dad is in recovery, distancing herself from a codependent mom, spending long periods of time in treatment. Lindsay Smith, probably going to get sober. By the way, left a little prematurely, so we're going to see her flop down big one more time at least.
Who hasn't finished
really,
a little prematurely?
She's got one more relapse in her, Lindsay Smith?
Got a big one coming.
Yeah. Well, look, everyone who's deep in anything and well under 25 has a few left in the tank.
That's exactly right.
That's
it's
my
very
guess.
Difficult to treat the young ones.
You just have to dip them in liquid nitrogen and freeze them for about 10 years, and on their 30th birthday, we'll thaw them out with Disney's head and see if we can't get them sober. But, Dr. Drew, boy, you must miss sitting next to me doing that Loveline show.
Well, woo-wee! I miss it, and I relive the joy every morning when I listen to you three.
I will thank you, Dr. Drew. Quickly, before we let you go, as a society, I know our approach is to sort of look at these people like, hey, look, it's Anna Nicole Smith, and she's falling over. Look at her. I mean, in a way, the idea that we're selling tabloids and this is done for our amusement. I mean, every late night show host just talks about Courtney Love and all these people. Does that make you want to cry or strangle people or both? I mean, these people are legitimately sick and possibly dying. I mean, it's a situation where there's people in their early 20s who could be dead inside of a year, and we're having a huge laugh about it.
Yeah, it makes me cringe. Danny has certainly been the object of this.
Well, he's old enough to go.
Yeah, I'm good.
He's
yeah.
lived a full life.
He's led five full lives.
And I've got to tell you, I just finished participating in something that's going to air in a couple, about a month that is going to... It was my response to this, and I'm fearful that people are going to take it and go, no, that's exploitative. I put a bunch of celebrities in treatment and filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is your VH1 show.
Yes, very courageous, amazing outcomes, tremendous work. But these people, you know, did this in front of cameras. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was to say, hey, look how serious this is. Look how hard the work is. Look how all the trauma and the horrible pain these people are going through. So I'm hoping that at least turns the page on the way we
I don't think people look at that as exploitative. I think you forcing them to live in a giant habit trail is what people objected to, Dr. Drew.
Well, that part was a little
This
bit
is why Dr. Drew is a great doctor and a bad producer. I'll tell you why. Because he sat there and hoped, I really hope these people get well. And a good producer would have sat there and said, I hope at least 30% of these people OD on the property while we're filming.
Danny, that tension was all, you're absolutely right, that is television's needs versus the patient needs.
Absolutely.
And when I walked into this thing, I thought, oh my God, what have I got myself into? But what I kept telling the producers is, don't worry, in the process of treatment, there's raw enough, problematic, painful, wretched, horrible behavior and feelings. You'll see it. It happens in every treatment. Just sit back and watch. And you know what? God bless VH1. They did.
Drew has to wear, as a doctor in the media, have to wear two hats. The doctor's hat and the producer's yarmulke.
And there's
Are
now...
they both yarmulkes?
Actually, you have to wear two yarmulkes. That's right.
But now that there is a board for medical and mental advice, I forget what those guys are called, psychologists, there is a board that can really get you in a lot of trouble. If you're just a TV doctor and you're not doing your best work, you can get in big trouble now. It's a new thing. It happened on my show.
It's pretty complicated, right, in terms of are you board certified, are you not, and what does that mean, and what does it mean for a particular field, and then what is it, you know, does somebody in the media have to be board certified? And the way the media uses physicians, they don't care. They don't give a damn. They, you know, look, Adam, how many times have you seen my chiron as sex therapist, relationship expert, love doctor? You know, they have no idea who I am or what I am.
Love doctor.
Right. You, Julius Irving, and the guy who makes the deli sodas are all thrown into Dr. Brown, are all tossed into the same bucket. I know I'd have to explain to people all the time. I always get mad because people would always go, are you a real doctor or just a love doctor? Yes.
If you do a season two, Doc, as long as you promise to get me back off afterwards, I'll give you the relapse during sweeps.
Oh, please.
Bring him out.
It's very kind of you.
Totally ethical.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
We got a split.
Hey, wait. What happened at 11:30 last night?
Oh, what happened?
What were you doing driving around at 11:30?
I was finishing that effing commercial.
Oh, my God.
But the show's never sounded better.
Thank you very much.
That Stryker.
Loveline, everybody. KROQ, Dr. Drew, still going strong after 20-something years. He must know something. 10 p.m. to midnight. And, of course, we'll keep you abreast of Dr. Drew's many new shows coming up. And I think I'm going to do another one of your radio shows next week as well, Dr. Drew.
I appreciate that.
We'll take a quick break, Drew. We'll do dinner soon, too, Brada.
Perfect.
See you, man. Thanks,
great
Doc.
Guy. No better guy to sit next to on a plane. Dr. Drew, except for when he says, don't you think 13 Bloody Marys is enough? get out of here, doctor. Run out of your beeswax.
You've said that.
How dare you?
And he said, it's a 46-minute flight to Fresno.
Seems excessive.
And that's when I explain I'm rushing the cockpit. We'll take a break. Joel McHale. We have a tease, do we not?
Dog. Why the
f***
you
s***
in our toilet?
Wow, fight on the toilet. Next with Joel McHale.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press. I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Does the shoulder strap of your car cut into your shoulder? Introducing the Titty Bear.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh, my God!
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
It's Matter of fact, when I was listening to Loveline on the ride home from my commercial last night, I think Drew brought up getting his news from E and getting his news from Joel McHale on the Soup. That's right. He saw a story on the Hills or something and got caught up on pop culture. Joel, great to see you.
Don't ever mention news is in quotes when it comes to E.
Well, in these days, the line is getting blurry. Celebrity
really
news,
is.
news, world news. It's weird, you know. The world news has just become
hard news,
you know. Yeah. Used to be off the ticker in the international or foreign desk. Now it's just news.
Yeah.
Celebrity news is now just news.
When you go from plane crash in Turkey to Britney Spears might be pregnant, that's a story. That's been a big story
this
week.
Cover of a magazine.
Might be pregnant.
Good
is a story.
Times.
Buy a turkey.
Yeah.
And now that's a story.
That's a story, yes. I'm sure they have photos of her at the grocery store picking out that. All right.
Yes. Well, right. What do you got on the docket
I
for us?
Have something just tailored for you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Stars one of your favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Tyra Banks, who...
Be very careful where you tread, my friend.
Why? Because Terry will come out?
I'm dearly...
The messenger will be shot?
Dearly in love with that person.
Okay.
Can you marry yourself? You know, they have same-sex marriages.
In Hawaii.
Do you think Tyra Banks could go to an island where she could marry herself? Because I feel like that would make her complete, ultimately.
I understand that she's engaged to herself already.
Oh, so she's seeing herself.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was recently spotted selecting rings for herself.
Mm.
And she got really discried at one point and ran out.
Well, let's hope there's a little self on the way.
All right, she's interviewing Alicia Keys. And Alicia Keys, who is a poet and a songwriter, demonstrates her skills of listening to Tyra do her own fierce poetry.
I must tell you that when I met you at... Oakland. I thought that you were the shiznit.
Hey.
A friendship family, me, you, and Kimora Lee. And I felt like a victim in the movie Boys in the Hood. But as I sit here with you on my couch, what rhymes with couch?
I will infiltrate that Oprah's Player's Ball if it's the last thing I do. Get me the cape and the shoe polish.
One.
I'm going in.
I think that was a one-off.
I'm going to get me some free beads. I'm going to get me some free pearls. Whatever she's
diamond
got
earrings.
Going over there. I will infiltrate that thing.
And she makes like $20 million a year.
I'm going to report back to
her show's doing very poorly.
Oh,
is
it is?
Oh, yeah. It moved to New York, and from what I understand, the ratings are not high.
I don't understand. Just because she has nothing to offer?
Well, that's...
Adam.
That.
No talent.
No talent.
Well,
she has, like, 200 wigs that you can see. You never know which one's coming out.
I could not find the story where she made herself ugly. I saw it teased, but I never saw the payday on it on the entertainment shows. Now, you remember...
I see it every day when I turn on her show.
Oh.
She made herself fat a year or so ago to find out how people treated fat people. And surprise, surprise, not as well as super hot, D-cupped people.
Wow.
But now she made herself ugly with the funky wax teeth and the unibrow. Wait a minute. She's mocking me openly. Point is she went out to do another one of her hard-hitting experiments on society and its reactions to the people in it. And I didn't get the news back on that one
yet. It could have been one of those things where she realized she might have looked too ugly. You know when pretty people dress themselves up to be ugly and they go, wait a minute.
Yes.
This is a little too close.
Yeah.
You can do Halle Berry and Monstrous Ball, but you can't go beneath that level.
No.
Mm.
Only Johnny Depp can do that in all interviews where he insists on making himself the ugliest person.
Yeah. I saw Johnny Depp do another interview over the weekend, I think, and I turned to my wife and I said, we're done. I've turned the corner on Johnny Depp with the weird... First off, he looks like a crooner from the 40s.
Yeah.
Now he's doing that thing where he wears the round glasses. He looks like a Leon Redbone or something, and he wears the cap. He's like, wah, 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 wah. And all of a sudden, he's this character. He looks like Zelig from the Woody Allen movie. He really looks like some character from the 40s, and he's just sitting there, and he's living in France, and he's pontificating, and he's the artist, artiste, and I think I've had enough of him.
It's Sweeney Todd he's doing now, right?
Yeah. Right.
With the big white stripe down his head?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still dreamy, though. to every woman in the world, right, Teresa?
No, I don't care for him.
I don't believe
you. Too pretty. I need to be the pretty one.
All right, let's get to some tattoos around the groin area.
All right. Mm-hmm.
This guy came in to Miami Ink, the ink shop, and he wanted a tattoo of Christ on his arm, but he also wanted to talk about his other tattoo.
I got this one done after a party some friends of mine had, and I got nicknamed Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler?
Right. I don't know if you saw the movie Boogie Nights.
No, I don't think I've seen the movie, no.
Here is, in flames, D-I-R-K. Basically, it's like my crotch is on fire. And it does get lots of attention, and I think Christ deserves some of the attention.
Hot chicks have never seen any movies I like. I'm like 0 for 1 million.
Right.
You know, if you go like, remember that scene in Cool Hand Luke? You remember in Poseidon?
Remember in Bridge of a River Kwai when that?
But you know, in
Full Metal Jacket, when the
like Nick Cage in Raising Arizona, when he turned what is it with hot chicks that they just officially have never seen a movie that I've seen? There's no, I was like, in Crimes and Misdemeanors,
just one of my favorites.
But
you're one of the good ones.
An exception. We need to take a break. Hey, Joel McHale.
Yeah.
Who I consider a hot chick.
Me Thank too. You.
I got to tell you.
In prison, you'd be rich.
If somebody locked that door for more than a week, you'd be passed around here like a joint at a Doobie Brother concert.
Yeah, but on day 8, I'd start eating you.
Danny and I'd be playing rock, paper, scissors.
Yo, Gabba Gabba. What about Teresa right here, you guys?
She's smoking for.
Like, don't touch Teresa. We've been in here for 6 days.
Thanks for getting us out of that, Corolla.
Joel.
Yeah.
Let's do a tease before we do
what
a
do we
break.
Got for tease?
Dog.
Oh, yeah. The upper decker is coming, everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
We went from guys slapping each other with white gloves and saying, my seconds.
Good day, sir.
We'll see you in the streets of at high noon tomorrow to attacking guys while they're taking a dump.
Yes. I'll explain. The upper decker is going to be explained.
All right. We'll do that next.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Right now on The Adam Carolla Show, a look back at the 2006 Ace Award for Impersonation of the Year. Jimmy's cousin Sal doing Adam Carolla.
Goodfellas, a movie I've seen about 10,000 times. I love that goddamn movie. I'll tell you, if my son were boxing for the heavyweight championship of the world on HBO and Showtime was playing Goodfellas, I'd choose to watch Bobby D and the boys stomp Billy Bats to death one more time.
Who will take home the ace this year? Find out December 13th. The 2007 Ace Awards on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see Joel's name on the 2007. It's a perennial favorite over here at the Adam Carolla Show. Joel McHale from The Soup on E! 10
Yo,
o'clock
Gabba Gabba.
Tonight.
Yes.
What do we have
All
coming
right.
up?
Let's get right to The Ultimate Fighter, which tries to fix its image by having this reality show showing that mixed martial arts fighters can also be, sensible people. But when they stay home from practice and drink, they often will take a dump in the tank of a toilet. And
The tank.
What?
Huh.
It's called an upper decker, everybody.
I have not heard
really?
Of that.
Yeah. I've learned. The last show was very informal. It was basically an infomercial on how to deliver an upper decker, which I did in Seacrest dressing room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got in there early and did that because I couldn't. I was worried about coordinating my bran muffin and the dried fruit.
Yeah.
And my 6 cups of coffee.
Now, I've done the dugout and I've been in the hole, but I've never gone for the upper decker.
Interesting. It also takes some serious balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just rest your butt, just right into the tank.
Sure.
Right.
Because it's not
it's
right.
A tail
gator. So you have to basically take a dump like you're in the third world.
I see. All right.
Anyway, I hope Ryan doesn't. Anyway. You'll see a fight ensued, of course.
I take a leak and then I flush the toilet, and all of a sudden, like, all this comes out.
I never even heard of this, but I guess you in the back of someone's toilet's called a upper decker.
I can't say I was innocent. I handed him the toilet paper and I kind of instigated him to do it a little bit because it's funny.
Pranks are pranks, but when you bring doo-doo into the equation, that's straight hostility, dude. That's personal.
I'm with the munchkin voiced guy.
I don't know.
That guy could kill all of us in seconds, and he's got the highest voice.
He uses the phrase doo-doo.
But I like how it's personal when feces comes
out. Right. I could not agree more.
I don't know. For me, a prank doesn't become a prank until there's doo-doo involved. It's just a harmless joke.
Dude, why'd you get personal?
Is this Upper Decker thing sweeping the nation, Joel?
It's going to. All right, let's move right on to Kitchen Nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Gordon Ramsay has another show now where he goes to restaurants and he tries to fix them. And this one is going very well, except for a table of old people. So listen carefully. So he goes out and confronts these customers. They're old.
She said the steak was too tough, which doesn't look tough to me.
After Gordon sees nothing is wrong with the food, he decides it's time to stick up for his young chefs.
What are you trying to say to me, huh?
Okay.
My steak was tough. Okay, good. But madam, unfortunately, you're talking out your rear.
Wow.
Watch your mouth, sir.
Oh, really?
I don't care.
But you're just walking around looking for trouble. Why don't you just sit down and stop trying to cause trouble? Ladies, welcome. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
So sorry about the old bag.
Just because she doesn't have teeth doesn't mean she's talking out of her rear, although it's an honest mistake. Wow, Gordon Ramsay turning his vitriol toward the old folks.
The customers. I wish more restaurants would do that.
Well,
you should have been
especially
there when I
your restaurant.
If I'm going to open a restaurant called No Old Jews, just young stoners. That's all I want.
You think young stoners
hot.
Tip?
A decent point, but nothing gets sent back.
What if it's like
I
a 40-year-old?
I could drop an upper decker on some pumpernickel and send it, and Dawson would chug it right down and then ask for another one for the road.
What if it's like a for
dude?
This?
What if it's like a 40-year-old Jewish stoner? Is that that's no. right on?
Oh,
that exists.
Clay was really good.
Right on the bubble.
It was clay. Yeah.
I just don't want people complaining about how bad the food
dude.
Is and in such small portions. That's all I'm saying. All
right. There's a show called I Love New York 2. Because the first season was such a huge hit.
Speaking of bad tippers.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Don't pretend that's not funny.
There is no racial bigotry here.
New York has awarded a chain to the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great sentence. And this is his reaction to her and her reaction to him.
You know I'm feeling you.
Yes. Feels good.
Feels great.
Does?
When you say good, I want you to say great.
Good means more than just good to me.
Okay, I understand.
Maybe we can break it down and, you know, G can stand for great. The O can stand for outstanding. The other O can stand for awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Now, what's going on?
She just said O can stand for awesome.
Oh. Sorry.
Wait, do you not know how to spell awesome, Adam?
You know what?
Wait, let's try.
I think we've all done
all right, just spell awesome.
Once.
Go ahead.
You can
no,
do it.
No, but what's going on in I Love New York?
All right, this is the ceremony where the chain or the rose is handed.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I feel good about you. And he's like, I want you to say great. And she goes, great does mean good.
Oh, I see.
I mean,
now,
good G can stand for great. O can stand for outstanding.
Awesome.
The other O can stand for awesome.
Right. No, I'm a horrible speller, and I probably didn't even catch that. But I was trying to figure out how Flava Flav works into this, and
is this
an offshoot of his old show?
Adam, yes. Where have you come on?
I'm out of it. We're in the second season.
Flava Flav is just counting money at this point. This was the craziest woman on Flavor of Love.
Right.
This is the woman who brought doo-doo into the
equation.
She
was so nuts that she got her own show, and now she's in her second season. And it's more popular than Flavor of Love. It's the most popular. I think it's the most popular show in VH1
history. And did a girl poop on the rug?
Yes. The last season.
Lower Decker?
You know what? That was on Flavor of Love.
That was a shag rugger.
They call that one a Black and Decker.
Box seats.
Oh, no.
Come on.
There are many advantages to living with a 25-year-old girl. But television watching is not one of them.
Yeah.
I've now seen all of these shows that you're talking about. I've seen these episodes. I've never seen these shows before in my life. I now know when they're on and what channel.
Yeah, I'd like to be on top of a 19-year-old, but I don't want to watch a Hills marathon with her every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's cool, though, because she has a great attitude, and we compromise, and she just keeps her head right in front of the television set, and I put on earphones. It's cool. We worked it out, but it took like a few months.
Darn it. I was going to have breakfast.
Hey,
who's having butter?
Joel, we need to break. You want to toss one more in quick?
Let's toss in that Good Morning America one. It's quick.
Really?
Good morning, Diane. It was supposed to be an emotional moment for her and the audience. The only problem is that when he asked her to marry him, she said no. And less than a week later, she was dead.
Died of a broken heart and a self-inflicted shotgun wound. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break.
I have one more clip, so.
We'll hang out. We'll flash it when we come back. Joel McHale from The Soup, back next with him.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Ass out of time.
There
we are. Joel, keep that last
problem.
And we'll save
I will
it
tell
for
Larry
next.
King to just keep it down.
Oh, man.
Oh, you bastard.
Now I'm officially intrigued, but we're so out
it's
of time.
It's not like he got voted sexiest man from AARP. Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh, no.
And his wife, who's 50 years younger than him, said it on Martha.
Move over, Paul Harvey. There's a new hot buzzard in town. All right. I want to thank Jason Statham. Revolver, name of the new movie, and Fridays in theaters, I should say, next Friday. Def Frat Guy, defratguy.com. Dr. Drew!
Yeah!
Love Lines, Sunday through Thursday on KROQ, and many other locations as well. Joel McHale. Soup, that's who.
Yeah.
Tonight, 10 o'clock on E!, Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler tonight. And
I'm at the Brea Improv, too, buddy.
TMZ. Oh, sorry, Brada. Brea Improv tonight.
Tomorrow.
And Sunday.
Yes.
Wow.
Joel McHale in all his majesty.
It's a one-man show.
Brea Improv tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Wiener face apparently is not scary.